Okay, good evening. We're about to begin the Maimer. Kepsayse Tishmoyru, Mekdashay Tiro, Mekut Tzayre, Parshas Bahar, Daf Mem Aleph. This Maimer was said in the year Tav Kuf Ayin Aleph, which makes that something like 195 years ago. All right. It explores the significance of Shabbos in the meaning of Shabbos. In our mimer that we discussed last week, it was mentioned in the mimer of Spartan. We mentioned then that Shabbos has in it two levels. There's a level of Shabbos that relates to the Friday night Shabbos, connected to the attribute of Malchus. And then there is a higher Shabbos, the day Shabbos, which connects to a higher level of divinity, the level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the seven emotives, the six emotions, masculine emotions that are higher than Malchus. In this Maimer, we're going to explore in greater depth the two Shabbosim that are in every Shabbos. Okay. My Shabbos you should observe, and my Beis HaMikdash you should fear. Then it continues, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. So he may pity Shabsoisai, I am Shte Shabbos. It says, Shabsoisai, my Shabbos, but it says the word Shabbos in plural. So the simple meaning is, you should keep all my Shabboses, all my Shabbosim. There will be many Shabbos. Shabbos is something that reoccurs every week. So we've experienced already multitudes of Shabbos since we've received the Torah. Okay. So over 50 Shabbos in a year. So a Shabbos is my Shabbos. Which might you should observe. However, over here the Rebbe is going to explain that this means is a different meaning. It doesn't mean you should keep my Shabbos in various different Shabbos. Every Shabbos, but you should observe the Shabboses that are in each Shabbos. So Amar Azal, the sages tell us, Amar Rav Yochanan Mishim Rav Shimon Ben Yochai, Rav Yochanan said in the name of Rav Shimon Ben Yochai, O the Malam Misham when Yisrael stay Shabboses till Chasan, Miyad Nigal, if only the Jews would observe two Shabbos till Chasan according to the Halacha, in the proper manner, Miyad Nigalim. So instantly they would be redeemed. So why does it say if they keep two Shabbos? It's because the Pasuk says, as Shabsoi Sai, Tishmai Bitlura. And if we would have had kept only the two Shabbos, then we would be redeemed. I know, however, the Rebbe explains, it doesn't mean two Shabbos. Keep the Shabbos Parshas Emma and the Shabbos Parshas Bahar. Two Shabbos we have to keep. Means two levels of Shabbos in one Shabbos. Behind the base between our Shabbos, she ate the whole Shabbos. That's two levels of Shabbos that exist within every Shabbos. The Kamosha Kasav, as it also says, Oila Shabbos to Shabbatah. Referring to the special Musaf Karban that we add the added sacrifice that we sacrifice on Shabbos. So it says over there, Oila Shabbos to Shabbatah. The Oila of Shabbos in its Shabbos. The sacrifice, Ola means a sacrifice that ascends completely to Hashem. And in every Shabbos you have to bring its karma. However, the deeper meaning of Oila Shabbos to Shabbatah means that contained within Shabbos, there is a higher element of Shabbos. There is a Shabbos within Shabbos. Oila Shabbos, the Oila Shabbos, Bishabbat, in Shabbos itself, there is another Shabbos. Right? Behind the Kamosha Kasha, the Zoyar Bereshis, Daf Yamad Beis. The Zoyar in Bereshis, in Daf Yamad Beis, the fifth page. It says over there, Sheyeh Shabbos Tatov, Shabbos Yilov. The whole Shabbos. And every Shabbos has a higher, a lower Shabbos, and a higher Shabbos. There's two levels of Shabbos in every Shabbos. Now, Zen Nemar, and this it says, and Shabbos Ayis said to Shemayr. So from the Zohar we get as follows. Not only are there two Shabbosim in Shabbos, but these are two dimensions where one is higher than the other. Shabbos is a day of holiness. But within the day of holiness of Shabbos, there's a lower holiness and a higher holiness. Shabbos Tatah, Shabbos Eloh. The upper Shabbos and the lower Shabbos. And when it says, well, if we keep the two Shabbos, the Jews would keep the two Shabbos and they would be redeemed, it means both Shabbos and within that, both levels of Shabbos. Zehu Shabbi Yerushalmi. And this also fits well. This that in the Jerusalem Talmud, Amru they say, Ilu al Yisrael Meshamrim Shabbos Echot Ketukuna. If Yidden would have only kept one Shabbos the way they should, Miyad ha Yeben David Ba. Immediately, Ben David, the son of David, would come. Mashiach would come. Now this seems to be a contradiction to our, our Talmud, the Talmud Bavli. Because in the Babylonian Talmud, now a Talmud, it says if we would keep two Shabbos, the Mashiach would come. And there it says if we would only keep one Shabbos, Teru Chasan, Mashiach would come. So is it one Shabbos or is it two Shabbos? Or is it an argument between the Jerusalem Talmud and the Babylonian Talmud? He says, no, it's not a... The aim is so the Maimer, Ilumol and the Shabbos, your soul stay Shabbos. This is not a contradiction to the Maimer that if Yidden would have kept two Shabbos and to Piddish stay Shabbos, because when it says two Shabbos in the Babylonian Talmud, in the Babylonian Talmud, Hainu Gamkin Shabbos Achas. It also means one Shabbos. It means the two levels in Shabbos. Like the Rishamis. The Rishamis calls it one Shabbos, because they're really both contained in one Shabbos. And the Babylon says two Shabbos, because it's the two levels of Shabbos in one Shabbos. Al Derech HaNishner has mentioned above. So the Havans have to understand the above mentioned. Tzaruch Lehavit Inyan Shabbos. We first have to understand what Shabbos is all about, so that we can understand the two levels of Shabbos. Ki hinei noida, because it is known, the Shabbos l'pchinas aliyas ha'olamos. Shabbos is the time when the worlds are sent. Shabbos, the uniqueness of Shabbos is at the time of elevation. What is elevate on Shabbos? All of existence rises on Shabbos. All worlds, even the physical world, upper spiritual worlds, higher and higher, all of existence is elevated to a higher level on Shabbos. And it doesn't only mean that the world is elevated on Shabbos, yes, of course, the worlds go ascend on Shabbos, but it also means that all holy activity that was performed in the duration of the week, all godly activity, all the Torah that was studied, which intrinsically possess a holiness within itself. Torah is holy. Mitzvahs, which have a holiness, which have an intrinsic holiness by themselves. Nevertheless, the Torah and the mitzvahs that were performed during the whole week are elevated to a higher level of godliness. And that the ascent of the Torah and mitzvahs is far superior than the ascent of the worlds. The worlds rise, but even higher than that, the Torah and mitzvahs rise. Because the Torah and mitzvahs are the penius, the inner dimension of the world, and they rise, they're initially godly. And being that all of existence rises on Shabbos, so the Torah and mitzvahs also rise to a much higher level of divinity on Shabbos. And the Torah and the Maisim Toivim and the good deeds of all the days of the week, Mis'alim, the Maila, the Shabbos, rise upward on Shabbos. The Amdam, however, Loishem Mis'alim and the Shabbos Mamish, not that they directly are absorbed in Shabbos. When Shabbos comes, it sweeps up, it takes a sweep at all the Torah mitzvahs that is done during the week, and it elevates it to a higher place, to a Shabbos bigger status, a higher level. But the Rebbe says this doesn't happen directly. Shabbos cannot make contact or can't directly infuse the Torah mitzvahs with the week of the weekdays with a superior holiness. Shabbos can't link up with the weekdays directly. There has to be some intermediate. Because Shabbos is so way beyond the rest of the week that There's nothing to combine it. There's nothing to connect. And even the Torah and mitzvahs of the week have absolutely no relevance or no significance compared to Shabbos. And therefore, in order for the Torah and mitzvahs to be able to be elevated to the power of Shabbos, we need something in the week, even during the week, that serves as the bridge that is able to connect Shabbos to the week. And that's why he says, not that they're directly elevated into Shabbos. When he says that they're not absorbed in Shabbos Mamish, he doesn't mean that they don't end up being absorbed in Shabbos. As he explains later, yes, they are. They're all absorbed literally in Shabbos. But what he means is they're not absorbed in Shabbos Mamish means that it's not directly connected to Shabbos. It's via something else. There is something which happens, takes place during the week, that elevates Torah and mitzvahs to a notch higher than they are on their own. And once it's elevated to that place, then it can enter into the Shabbos. And Shabbos can lift it up even higher than what it was before. Because it is impossible for the Avoida, for the quality of the Avoida that is in the weekdays, that it should be absorbed in Shabbos. Ella, rather. Every day there is an influence of Shabbos. Meaning, even though Shabbos is only one day in the week, nevertheless, Shabbos extends its influence during the whole week. There is a ray of Shabbos during the week. Some places it says like this, that the past Shabbos extends its influence until Tuesday. And then from Wednesday, we start feeling the influence of the coming Shabbos. So Shabbos serves as an umbrella. It radiates over the entire week, infusing of its holiness and its godliness to the entire world. So, there is, but we all understand, that the radiance of Shabbos, as it radiates for the rest of the week, is far weaker and far diminished in comparison to the potency of holiness of Shabbos itself. So what he's saying is like this, the Torah and mitzvahs that one performs during the week, they can't be infused with the holiness of Shabbos, as Shabbos is, with the potency of Shabbos. However, first the Torah and mitzvahs are influenced by the radiance of Shabbos that's during the whole week. We imbue our mitzvahs with the Shabbos-like energy that is available to us on Wednesday, and that is available to us on Monday. Once it has been lifted up through that Shabbos-like power, then when Shabbos comes, it is imbued with the real Shabbos energy and elevated to a higher place. How do we know that Shabbos shines and illuminates the whole week? As it says, Zachar es Yema Shabbos. Remember the day of Shabbos. So there is two parts of this mitzvah. One part of the mitzvah of Zachar es Yema Shabbos is on Shabbos itself. We fulfill the mitzvah of Zachar es Yema Shabbos by making Kiddush. And that is the reciting that Shabbos is Zachreyo b'knisasa, Zachreyo b'knisasa. Kiddush and Abdullah make Shabbos into a special day. That's where we fulfill the mitzvah. But according to the Ramban, we also fulfill this mitzvah during the whole week. And that is by remembering Shabbos during the week. We find when we during the week think about Shabbos, make preparations for Shabbos, or even just saying, today is the third day of Shabbos, and Shenil Shabbos, connecting to Shabbos, that is a way of fulfilling the mitzvah of Zachar Es Yema Shabbos, constantly bearing in mind Shabbos. Why do we have to remember Shabbos during the week? So the deeper meaning is because we have to draw the influence of Shabbos into the week. And by remembering it, that's the channel to Shabbos. So what is it? Zachar Es Yema Shabbos, remember Shabbos. What is it particularly during the week that is the radiance of Shabbos? So it explains, that is prayer. Prayer is the Shabbos of the week. It is in the tefillah of every single day, the three prayers that we pray every day. That is the Shabbos-tig moment of the week. And it's those moments, it's in tefillah that it is absorbed and arises all the Torah mitzvahs that we do the whole week. Why? What is it connected? What is the connection? And why do we say that davening? What resemblance does davening have to Shabbos? Ki atfila nikra oilas tamas. Tefillah is called a oilas tamas. It's the oilas, the rising. You can call it oilas tamas, the constant rising, but it's also called oilas tamas. It's the rising which corresponds to the carbon tamas. Tamid was also a carbon that we bought every day. Every single day you have to bring it. So it was an Oilas Tamid. But davening is called Oilas Tamid. Why is davening called Oilas? And we know, but the three prayers that we have every day were instituted corresponding to the carbonus, to the two carbon tamids. The shachris, the tefillah shachris corresponds to the tamid shal shachar, to the morning tamid. And tefillah and mincha corresponds to the afternoon carbon tamid. And ma'ariv corresponds to the organs and the limbs and the organs that were burnt during the night. So that's the tefillah of ma'ariv. So that's the connection of davening to the carbon oil. But what do we have from this? What is the concept of offering up a carbon? When we offer a carbon, we're elevating something up. We're bringing something up. We're taking something from the world. We're picking something up from worldliness, a physical entity that doesn't seem to bear any connection to God and to the purpose of life. It's an animal that's living in its own shell, of its own ego, of its own existence. We take that animal and we bring it onto the altar. By putting it onto the mizbeach, it gets consumed with a godly fire. It fuels a godly fire. It's absorbed in God's light. So something has been taken. Something has been lifted up from a state of worldliness where it was what? Unconscious. When it was unaware, when it was unsensitive of holiness and godliness, it lived in an arena where Hashem's light was not present, and now you picked up that animal and brought it up to become completely absorbed in God. So therefore a carbon, and that's what the word carbon means. Carbon means to draw close. You take a substance that was far, and you draw it close to Hashem. So that was what we call aliyah, to elevate something from below meaning from the state of being farther away. What's called farther? You can't be farther from God. Farther away meaning being less aware of Him, and being closer to Him means being more aware of Him. To the point where you lose all self-awareness, self-identity, you become part of His identity. That's a karma. And that's the whole concept of what prayer is all about. A human being, a physical human being, lives within a universe, within a physical reality that hides and conceals us in. When we don't feel them, when we don't sense them. What is that? When does a human being come into contact? When does he come to experience God? The time of the day that you do that is during davening. Davening is your time when you raise your awareness. You raise your awareness through meditation. The whole davening is set in a way where it brings you to higher forms of meditation. More and more. The Seder Pesukim, it's not just meant to mumble words. It's meant to think about those words, to hear the message that it is conveying, to become more familiar with godliness, and thereby raise your entire awareness to a higher state of consciousness, to a more spiritual state of awareness. And that's the similarity, and that's the connection of the davening to a karma. Because here you draw close to the point where one feels almost that he's becoming absorbed. One loses by Shemona Esrei, you're at the state of the karma on the altar. Because by the Shemona Esrei, you lose all identity to the point you can't even speak. And how do we say it at the beginning of Shemona Esrei? Hashem Sefas Haytiftach, God, you open my mouth. I don't have any words. Because I'm so enveloped in your light, do I lose my identity in your overall of existence. So that's mamash like a karma. And that's why it's an oila, it's a time of raising. And that is the same idea of Shabbos. Shabbos is when the whole world experiences a rising upward. Where the whole world is more godly sensitive. We can feel, we can appreciate, we can sense Hashem much more. God is far more available to the world. That's the way he's explained. And all this, Olam L'mayim L'mayim L'b'zman HaTzivah. Again, Hashem, why is it called Olam Tamim? Hashem Aliyos Olam Ois. This is because of the as a result of the world's rising. The world's rise during davening. And here they have to say more than that. It's not only that a human being personally rises during davening, then it wouldn't have anything to do with particular davening. What happens when a person does a meditation? Really, you can meditate anytime. You can wake up at midnight and meditate. And then you come to a higher sense of awareness of Hashem. What does it have to do particularly with davening? About three times of the day that we daven. Why? Because it's something that is woven into the very fabric of creation. That three times a day, all worlds rise to a higher state of awareness. God infuses the world with a greater light during a greater light during three times during the prayers. And that's why the worlds feel sense Hashem. So in the upper world, they feel it in a very powerful way, three times a day. Down here, the people that are, you know, out in the street, doing whatever we're doing, involved in all their tasks and all their involvement, don't sense any difference in the time of Shabbos. But when you enter into a shul and you open up a siddur and you start davening, it carries you. There's a certain wave, something in within the ear that brings you to that helps you come to that higher state of awareness. Something that you can't achieve if you're davening not in the proper time, not the time of davening. So of course it involves human activity, and involves how much you're going to put into it. But there is an assistance. The very time itself, this is the Zman of davening, enables you, makes it accessible, makes godliness far more accessible. Because the worlds arise, as he's saying, Zman aliyah sa'ilamis, all worlds rise. Sha'ilam ma'ilam ma'ilam, the Zman atzil at the time of davening. K'moi, just like, Sha'a Shabbos nikra oila Shabbos. Shabbos is also the same thing. Shabbos is called Oilah Shabbos. You mentioned the pasuk before. It's the rising of Shabbos. The Oilah. So why Oilah? Oilah means to ascend. Shabbos ascends. Hashem Aliyah is Oilah is for the Shabbos. The rising of the worlds in Shabbos. The ascendance of the worlds in Shabbos. And afterwards, now, what is it? But down. So now you have your davening, which generally is a davening is, in very general terms, davening is a time, in very general terms, davening is a time, as we said before, when we bring ourselves to a higher awareness. But really, particularly, you said, what is elevated through the prayer? Particularly, it's the Torah and Mitzvahs that one does. And one would wonder, why does Torah and Mitzvahs have to be elevated? Torah and Mitzvahs are godly by them on their own. Right? Torah is God's Torah. Mitzvah is what? It's Hashem's mitzvah. Why does tzilin have to be elevated? Why does the tzitzis have to be elevated? Why any mitzvah that we do, or we're giving tzedakah, or any other thing that we're doing, well, what's the elevation that's necessary if this is Hashem's mitzvah? We can talk about mundane activity that has to be elevated. Because if you don't permeate it with a feeling of holiness, with a purposeful feeling, then it's plain, it's mundane. It's lacking anything godly. But if you're learning Torah and you're doing the mitzvah, that intrinsically is holy. The answer is, it's true that mitzvahs are holy and Torah is godly, but nevertheless, being that Torah and mitzvahs are encased in a physical encasement, are embodied in physical activity, so sometimes a person can lose the sense of godliness in that mitzvah. For example, a person could be studying the Babylonian Talmud, a person could be studying Jewish law, and lose any feeling that this is God's Torah. You can get so carried away with the simple logic of it, without feeling that this is Hashem's will, this is God's wisdom, because it makes perfectly sense to the human mind, and one can see it just as, or a person can look as an act of kindness, as an act of generosity, just as human goodness, without sensing this is a mitzvah that connects me to God, that God is present in this. So what brings the awareness of Hashem to your mitzvahs? What infuses your mitzvahs with a certain spirituality? And it isn't just physical mitzvahs, it's not a dead mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that has a spiritual energy, meaning a sense that I'm doing something godly, something holy, something beyond the world. For that, you have to have your davening. Because at the time of davening is when you bond with God. The time of God davening is when you make contact with your own soul, with your own spiritual dynamic, with the spiritual element within you. And then as a result of your davening, you're excited. You want, you feel a yearning, you feel a longing, you feel a craving for a relationship with God. And then you go ahead and you do a mitzvah. When you study Torah, you imbue your mitzvah with something spiritual. The mitzvah is not as a physical mitzvah. The mitzvah is a consequence. It's not a robotic act. It's just an act of your body. It's an act of your entire being, including your spiritual self. And that's what we mean, the mitzvahs are elevated through your prayer. When you daven, and later you do mitzvahs, the mitzvahs are performed with a high, far higher level of sensitivity. It's a higher mitzvah. However, your sensitivity that you're able to have during the week is limited, and is far inferior to the sensitivity that you can have on Shabbos. Shabbos, a person's awareness of God is on a far higher level than during the week. So when you become aware of Hashem in the way and the manner that He's only available on Shabbos, and then that influences your mitzvahs, so now your mitzvahs are brought up to a far higher awareness. Because it's the awareness of Shabbos. And it's not, when they say, well, the mitzvahs were done already. You did the mitzvahs last week. Now it's Shabbos. But it works retroactively. It takes the mitzvahs that were done already with the desire to cleave to God. But your desire then was a lower desire because it was the desire of the weekday. It wasn't a desire of Shabbos. But now you're imbued with a far deeper desire, with a far deeper mesiras nefesh, which you experience on Shabbos. So that now reconnect to those mitzvahs that you've done in the past, elevating them to that level of the relationship that you experience on Shabbos. Yes. No, I'm saying it's imbued within the world itself that three times a day Hashem lifts the world up. He removes some of the veils and allows the world to experience Him. It's a cosmic energy, not just your particular thing. There's something within the world itself that elevates. Of course, you have to meditate. It's the davening, I'm saying. So I'm saying, it would have an impact. It would affect because there's something in the air itself. But through the words of davening, you're going. It's the process of Aliyah Sha'ilam is worked through these words. So you're far more in tune with the system of the Aliyah. Yeah. So you're not really elevating the mitzvah. What you're really doing is you're revealing the godliness of the mitzvah more. It's the concept of what we speak in Tanya about adding wings to your mitzvahs.
Right. So, but is the objective to
add wings
to the mitzvah, or
to you and to the mitzvah, because the mitzvah impacts the world. And when the mitzvah is a spiritual mitzvah, meaning a mitzvah that is not so coarse, then the godliness in that mitzvah radiates to a greater degree to all of existence, the entire world. Yeah. Yeah. No, and of course it impacts the person too. Yeah. That's right. There's more gilui. That's right, there's more gilui of the mitzvah. Now, yeah. The Kamosha Shabbos, the Shabbos, Hashem, the Achakach, and afterwards, Hatzvilei Shokol Yemayachoyl, the prayers of the whole week, Imkol HaTayra Mitzvah Shem Nichlulu Behem, with the Torah and mitzvahs that were absorbed in the davening, nechlalim, b'Shabbos mamash, are now included in Shabbos, literally in Shabbos. So it sort of works like this. See, what I was speaking about before is more about your davening as a preparation for the mitzvahs. When you daven, your davening puts you at that higher state of awareness. Now when you do mitzvahs, your mitzvahs are imbued with a higher level of spirituality, and therefore the mitzvah is a higher mitzvah. It's done in it. But it works. But then there's a second thing. Then when you daven the next day, your mitzvahs of yesterday are absorbed in your davening. Davening infuses you with an awareness that later can infuse your mitzvahs that you're going to do after the davening. But then the davening that comes after the mitzvahs raise the mitzvahs that were done already to a higher level. Then, the prayers of the whole week, which are, as we said before, the Shabbos of the week, are absorbed in Shabbos itself. They're absorbed in Shabbos davening. Because the main experience of Shabbos is the davening of Shabbos. Being that Shabbos is all about Aliyah, Shabbos is all about a time of ascent. So where does a person really ascend? It's during the davening. So the tefillah of davening is the Shabbos of Shabbos. Now, so the davening of Shabbos now reconnect to the davening, or connect to the davening of the whole week, absorbing the weekday davening in the weekday of Shabbos, and that's how it gets absorbed in Shabbos itself. And that's what we mean, Oyla Shabbos. The Tzadik Lahav, and now we need to understand, Inyan Aliyah is Elu. What is the Inyan? What is the idea of all these Aliyahs, of all these ascents? Mao, what are they? What does it mean to ascend? The woman, Loi Chala Arif Tevaydai, God's glory fills the entire earth. Book 7, it says, Ki Hashem Elikim, that God is God, Vashemayim Imah, in the heavens above, Al Arif Mitachas, in the earth below. To Meshachasa desire, and it also says in the Zayar, the lace asar panim nek. There is no place that is void of him. So Hashem is everywhere, anywhere. Or Kama Shekasa Zamkin, the Medrash Rabbah. It also says in the Medrash Rabbah, Parsha Shemois, Perek Beis, and Parsha Shemois, the second pit. Lama Mitai Chasne, why did God appear to Moshe Rabbeinu from the thorn bush? The Lamba to teach you, She'ein Makin Panei B'loi Shechina. There isn't a place where that is void, that is empty, that is absent from the Shechina. Afilu Shne, even a Shne, meaning, even if a person goes through an extremely thorny experience, which pricks, which hurts, a person goes through a time in their life, which they experience themselves as if they're going through a Shne, they're going through a thorn bush, they're getting pricked from every side, and they might think that's because God has abandoned them. That's because in this dark place, God isn't present. So Hashem is showing Moshe that there isn't a place where he isn't. But even in the Shne, I think he was really showing him that the Golos Mitzrayim, which was a thorn bush. Hashem is showing him that even in that thorn bush, I was there all along. It's just that I'm not that visible, that I'm really there. But what it really means is that in everywhere, there is such a thing as God being absent from us. And even in the darkest, and even in the places where we feel in the least, and the most physical of existence, we feel he's also present. So here we say the world ascends. There's Aliyah Sa'ilam, it's the world ascend. The world ascending seems to imply also that each world rises to the level of a higher world. The worlds go up. The Olam is Tachtonim, the lower world, rise to the levels of Olam is Olam, which would seem to imply that Hashem is present to a greater degree in Olam is Olam, in the upper world, more than he is in Olam is Tachtonim. But we know that God is Bashamayim Imah V'Lo'aretz Mitachas. Equally, he's present everywhere. Maloi Chal Aretz Kavoyda. His glory fills the entire earth. As he doesn't bring that prophet, Shemayim Esaret Amin Molei, Hashem is everywhere. So that's the case. What does it mean to ascend to higher worlds? It could be one thing that God lacks. One thing we say is, when Shabbos Hashem radiates, allows his light to shine more into the universe, into the world. But that would be one thing. But at least Olam seems to imply that the lower Olamas go up to the higher Olamas. What's the benefit of that? For what purpose? If Hashem is everywhere, so where's it going to? Of course, the simple answer is it's going up to a higher state of awareness, to the awarenesses of the higher world. Of course, the Tav Hashem is everywhere, but the world is not aware of it. But now it's going to ascend to a higher state. We're going to learn about it. But that's the general question. When we speak about Aliyah Sa'ilam, the world rising, why rise? What does it mean, a higher place, if God is everywhere? Yom Kemal, Allah Shana Aliyah Sa'ilam, what is the significance of the meaning of Aliyah Sa'ilam? And this is also in the verse itself. It is Oyla Shabbos. The Shabbos is Oyla. It rises. The mashmash Oyla Mamayloda. They arise upward. The Yuvan Bahagdim. This will all be understood. That first passage. In Yin Yiridus Hanashama Beguf Ba'Oyla Mazeh. She Yiridu Tzayrich Aliyah. We're going to understand all the above by first understanding the descent of the soul into the body in this world, which is a Yiridu Tzayrich Aliyah, which is a descent for the sake of an ascent. What does this mean? We know that souls, right? Souls come then into a body, into this world. The souls come from an extremely exalted place. The shamas are very, very, very high, very, very deeply connected to God. For what sake would the neshama come down into this body? Why? What would be the benefit of bringing in a soul? So we know, must be for the benefit. God wouldn't put the soul down through this misery, through this, in this darkness, for no reason at all. So it's Yerida Tzayda Chaliyah, the soul comes down in order for it to rise to a higher place than it was before. We need to understand, what is this ascent? What is the neshama going to gain by coming down here? Hine yedua, it is known, gam koydim yiridasam hem gavoyim ma'ovim madrega. Even before the neshamas descended, they were in a very, very high level. Commandment, as we say, Yisrael, olubim achshav. In order to clarify how high the neshamas are, where the great exalted place that the neshamas come. We say about souls that the neshamas olubim achshav. So the statement of the I think it's a medrash. We saw all of the machshava is it speaks about seven things that were here prior to creation. All of the machshava before creation, and it says there. So there's Gan Eden, Torah, Mashiach, and Mel. One of the things is you saw all of the machshava that the Yidden came up in Hashem's thoughts before. Simply, it doesn't mean that Jews existed prior to creation. It means that that there were seven things that God thought about prior to creation, and that's the reason for why He created all the world. The purpose of creation are the Jewish people. So the Jew really begins in creation, like the rest of creation. The Jew is part of the creation. It's only that why did God create? His motivation in creating were the Jewish people. So He thought about them before. It's a simple meaning. However, the deeper meaning is, if God thought about the Jews, about Israel, about the Jewish people prior to creation, it means that they exist. Because the very thought of them means that in that thought, they exist in the thought. Israel, Ol Mashav. So, okay. And he's going to explain that. So what does that mean that he didn't come up in Mashav? Masha ain't came up to Malachim, which isn't the case by angels. Angels, as great as they are, and generally we see them as far higher, sublime beings than we are, but nevertheless, they're not connected to this level of thought. In Shivat says by angels, and with the spirit of his mouth came all the hosts. He created them with the spirit of his mouth. With the breath of his mouth. Just like, by way of analogy, by a person, Oisi is Vadi Budim Shemedabir, Hem Kalach Shiv Lagaba Klaus Nefeshama Daberis. That the letters and the sentences and the speech that a person articulates and verbalizes have absolutely no significance whatsoever in comparison to the general speaking soul. Meaning, the power of the soul to speak, the general power, articulatory skills that the soul has is endless. The soul can go on speaking and speaking and speaking. There's no limit. But there's one to ask. You said a sentence. You said a paragraph. How much of your soul power of speech did you expend in that paragraph? And that word. How much? So a person can say, well, minuscule, very little, a tiny bit, but something, a little bit. Now I have less power to speak because I've given out some of my words. And we all know that's foolish. The soul is not limited in its capacity to speak. The soul that is eternal can speak and speak endless, which means that it's not even a percent of a percent of a percent. There's nothing there. In one utterance, in one word, you didn't lose any of your ability of speech, which means that one thought or one phrase is absolutely valueless, insignificant, totally nothing in comparison to the soul's ability to speak. So just like it is by a human being, one phrase and one sentence is utterly insignificant and compared to the soul's ability to speak. When God created the world, all of creation is what, particularly the malachim and so on, are created from what utterance? From an utterance. Now God can speak infinite words, infinite utterances. Meaning, then, that all of the angels and all their incredible existence that they exist in, their universe, the universe of angels, of beings, which are extremely, extremely impressive, that does not express any whatsoever of God's creative power. Even God as a creator, you can't see him as a, you can't see any of his creative ability. I'm examining the angels and the and all the sublime worlds. Because all of existence, the universe, the cosmos, and beyond, all that is just but one utterance. One utterance doesn't express anything of the speaker's, of the orator's skills, if the orator's skills is endless. So, as he says now, a person, letters, and diburim in speech, that he speaks, and kalach shiv, and absolutely valueless, legaba klalus nefeshama deberes, in comparison to the general force, the general speaking soul, the loy nasa shini v'geroim ba, and the, there has not been any dent, any change, anything missing, machmas ha-diburim, as a result of these speak, so that we should say that the soul now has lost some of its speaking ability because it used it up. The soul is able to speak infinite words. So just like it is within the soul's ability to speak, so too, call all the words, and the angels, and even the life force that's in them, both. It's the worlds themselves, and the angels, the inhabitants of the world, and the energy that sustains them. That energy is God's speech. So all of that, Hurat Ha'odah, is only one little ray, Galoch Shiv Etzla Yizbarah, is absolutely insignificant to him. The Ein Toifis Makkah Negdai, it doesn't have any value whatsoever. That is as long as what, as we're speaking about worlds. Because all of existence, all worlds, all of existence, they all were created through speech. Ba'asarim ba'amarais nivra olam, with the 10 utterances the world was created. Bereshit bara lekim how? Vayomer lekim. God kept on saying, he spoke the world. The world is inherently a speech of God. A long speech. He's still speaking. But it's a speech. That's what it is. Now it's only one speech. God can give endless speeches. And in that, this one speech doesn't capture anything of a speaking ability. Nothing. Which means that all worlds amount to absolute zero. Absolute zero. Nothing. Think about it. Think about a word that you spoke 2 days ago. Measure that word up in your ability to speak. That's not even the right motion, because it was a word. It was a word that you expressed to the outside. It impacted, right? To the world, it could have had a lot of impact. It could have hurt someone. It could have helped someone. The word is powerful. But that's if you're measuring it to the outside. But measure that word up into your ability to speak. Your ability to speak is endless. You say, well, no. Percentage-wise, if you take a human being when he's alive, and you would take all the words, few million words, I don't know how many, nothing, within the millions, if it reaches a billion, and how many words a person speaks during their life. This is one word, so it's a billionth of it. But that's only as long as you're physically alive, so you're contained in the body. When the person dies, the soul still exists, and the soul still has the ability to speak again. Physically, it will come again, it will be reincarnated in another body. It can go endlessly on and on and on and on and on. So what's the significance of that one sentence? Absolutely none. All words, all worlds, just one sentence, one utterance of Hashem. The Yudke really goes, it traces itself back to two letters. But really, in this sense, it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference, a paragraph, a chapter, a book. Right? And compared, if you're measuring it up and compare it to infinity, it's absolutely insignificant. There's no value at all. That's, however, why, as long as we're speaking about all worlds, worlds created from speech. Amnam, however, Nishmas Yisrael, souls of Jews, Jewish soul, Aldo B'machshav, they originate and they come from God's thoughts. So that's where you find the
thoughts are far more intimate things. Speech is an external thing. Thought is an intimate thing, something deep within you. And that has already significance, thought. But here the Rebbe says, behold, you can ask the same question. After all, we're just one thought. The Jewish soul is a thought of God. It's not an articulated word, it's a thought. But what is the value of one thought in comparison to your infinite ability to think? One thought. It's also valueless. He wants to now prove how great souls are, that they really do have value. So he's asking, "Afal gavan, even though the gam hamachshav, that even thought, hukaloy chashiv etzvay yizbarach, also absolutely amounts to nothing to God. So even if we say that a soul comes from thought, that is also nothing. Hukamay lamashal, by way of analogy, we can say the same analogy. Machshav oisa adam shenem shachem and nashayim." The thought of man that are drawn from his soul, the nishmas, the nashay, the nishmas, from his soul, she ain't place some muck and cloud. They don't have any value at all. They don't take up any space at all. The loy shinoi, they don't make any change. The loy giroi, no dent, no nothing lacking, the nashay. Your soul is not losing any of its thinking ability by thinking one thought, machnes hamachshavos, as a result of its thought. The yachoy me yilachshay machshavos ain't kates. And it can think endless thoughts. The Tachal Derech Mashal Mamayla. And so too, by way of an illustration and analogy above, Hamachshava Echlad Ukaloychashim. Even one thought is also valid. It can be Shakasav, as it says, Ani Avay Eloishani. Hashem hasn't changed one iota by thinking the thought of creation or the thought of the souls. Not at all. So then we can ask this. So that's also completely insignificant. Kalmat, and nevertheless, it's true. In the ultimate scheme of things, thought is also insignificant. But it compared to speech, and compared to the worlds, which are all a derivative of speech, it is surely important, infinitely more important. Again, depends on what we're comparing it to. In comparison to God's inner self, compared to the thing, it's true that it's lacking value. But compared to what? To worlds, which are only there substantiated by speech, which speech is what? Far more external. And that is a kolmach, and nevertheless, he says like this, Hamachshava hu lemaylam en adibur. Thoughts far transcend speech. Shahadibur nikra levush hachitza. Speech is called an external garden. Well, that echmashal, by way of analogy, the gashmi is, we know like this. Generally, we say like this. Thought and speech are both not the essence of a human being. They don't make up the character of a person. The character of a person is one's personality defined. A human being's personality is defined by their mindset, meaning their conception, their philosophy, what they understand, how they think, how they understand. I mean, think in terms of think, how they understand their worldview and their emotions. What is their state of their emotions, their passions, their aspirations, their desires, their wants? That makes up the character and the personality of a human being. Thought and speech are called garments because they're only vehicles of expression. They don't have any content from within their own. They express something other than themselves. A thought expresses. It expresses an emotion. It expresses an idea. It expresses a feeling. So they're vehicles of expression. However, there's a great difference. Speech is a vehicle of expression. Speech is a vehicle of communication to people outside of you. Thought is a vehicle of expression to yourself. It's a way that you yourself become aware and conscious of your own feelings, of your own, what's going on deeper within your psyche, within your experience, within yourself. So that's why they're called garments. Just like a person puts on a garment. That's not you. There is the person, and there's garments. You put on a garment. Put on a garment, you can take off a garment. Put it on and take it off. So too, in that sense we say, thought and speech are like garments. Why are they like garments? Because they both are things that are not inherently the person. And the biggest proof that they're not you is because you can take them off. You can be in the middle of a conversation. You can stop the conversation. I'm not going to say this. I want to say it. I'm not going to say it. You stop speaking. So it's like a garment you can put on. Same is also thoughts. You can stop your thoughts. You can stop thinking about something. Might be a little difficult. When you're thinking about something, you can stop. But you can't change your emotions at the drop of a hat. You have a feeling. You have an emotion. You can't decide instantly that I want to love someone. You can decide I want to love someone. You can't decide that you love someone on a moment. You have to develop that feeling. That takes a very long time. Because that's a deep change. You have to carve out a change. Here you have to change your very self. Because your loves, your passions, your way, what you like and your dislike, that's you. That's an inner thing. But a thought you can change. For example, if you hate someone, you hate someone. So they hate. You can't say, someone tells you, no, it's not nice to hate, stop hating. You can work on it. You have to learn a lot, study a lot, think about how it's bad to hate another Jew. You have to love every Jew. And you think about it a long time. You start suddenly, slowly, making that inner change within you that you stop hating the person. But if someone tells you it's not good to hate, and therefore you should not be thinking hateful thoughts, that you can stop. Say, now I'm thinking a hateful thought about this person. I'm going to turn my mind away from this, and I'm going to think something else. I'm going to think positive thoughts. That you can do. So you can't change the inner feeling, but you can change the expression of it and say, you know, I'm not going to express it now in thoughts. I'm going to remove this thought. So you can undo the thoughts. That indicates that thought is external to the person, not internal. However, in comparison to speech, it's internal. Because no one knows your thoughts. Thought is a process within you. It's the way you become conscious of what's going on. So it's compared to your inner personality, it's external. Compared to speech, it's internal. So that's what the Rebbe is explaining to me. The Moyal Derech Marshal the Gashmas. So it's similar to the Gar Marshal in physical. Lavush like a garment, She'enai loy she'tani. But speech, he says, is called the middle garment. Like a person has three garments. You have your undergarments, which are closer to your body. Then you have a middle garment. And then you have an outer garment. A coat or something, or a jacket that you wear on the outside. Three levels of garments. So too within a human being, three levels of expression. Activity, maisa, action, is the most external garment. Speech is the middle garment. And then the deepest, most intimate garment of the human being is thought. So says, speech is called levush achitza, it's called an external garment. The moral that of Marshal Bagashmi is levush, just like a garment that you don't always wear. Rak l'pa'amim only at certain times. Ta'ayinu k'shahoy lech l'chutz. When one goes outside. Kachu adibur, so is speech. Shaharei loy tamidu medaber. A person is not always speaking. Ela k'shatzarech l'galus l'zulasa. It's only when one wants to express something to the outside, so then one speaks. V'yashmatzay l'ruchay. And one can stop the speech. Shaloy l'daber, not to speak. That's my speech. By speech, you can decide to speak, you decide not to, because it's extremely external. And that's why it's not part of you in any way, so you can talk enough. However, by thought, he says, like Fasval. On the one hand, thought is a garment that's not you. And that's why you can stop thinking about something. But you cannot stop thinking altogether. To stop the garment of thought altogether, that's impossible. You have to constantly think. A person doesn't have a moment of his life when he's not thinking. And even when you're sleeping, you're also thinking. And that's your dreams or whatever. There is always some level of thought. Thought is always going on. Because thought is intimately connected. He says it's like a garment that's part of you. The garment of a turtle. A turtle has its garment. But its garment, its clothing, its shell is part of it. On the one hand, it's not part of it. It's not it. It's not part of the very body of the turtle. But on the other hand, it's stuck to it. You can't remove it. And that's the garment of thought. You can't be a moment without your thought. But it's a garment because it's not used. The kach mashek and amachshav. Or levush apnimi. It's an inner garment. Shaloi shaytlam that he's always. Gam kishu b'tnayat. Just like inner garment that a person wears always. Even when a person is by himself. There's something called like this. I'm getting dressed to go out. I'm going out to get dressed up. with your outer garments. When you're in your house, you don't wear your outer garments, but you're still dressed. So there is it's possible for you to take off your clothing. But a normal person walks around dressed in his house. So he's saying like this, this is an inner garment that you always wear. She'i as shaliyah is the loy makshava. It is impossible to be without any thoughts. Elachem, and therefore, loy tanuach ha-makshava le'olam. Thoughts will never rest. Never stops. Never ceases to operate. And as a result of this, just like the soul, just like you're you, and you're always you, you can't pause from being you. Being that thought is an inner garment that's so intimately attached to you, that's why thought is also constant. Speech isn't you. It's only something that you're enclosing yourself in. It's something that you're dressing yourself in. That's why. You can put it on, you can take it off. Now as a result of this comes something else. Being that thought is a garment that is part and parcel of the person, it's a vehicle of expression that is intrinsically part of the person. And that's why it's continuous. There's another aspect, and that brings us to another difference between thought and speech. Thought is eternal. Every thought lasts forever. Just like speech, and just like the soul itself is an eternal being, so too every thought remains in existence forever and ever for all eternity. Frightening thought. But that's true. Speech doesn't have that quality. Speech is more connected with physical things. So let's put it this way. Speech, even though it's the soul that triggers the speech, it's a thought that triggers the speech, the actual letters of speech are created from the body. It's your ear, it's through your windpipe that you create these letters. So there's a physical substance to it. The physical substance doesn't last forever. Everything in the physical world decomposes. So the words can, your sound waves can carry on for a while, but then it's the waves of thoughts last forever. And it says that that happens when a person leaves this world. He's surrounded by all of his thoughts, every single thought. There isn't a thought that's gone. And there is a particular program that is enabled to separate the soul from those thoughts. Because or else they stay stuck to the person forever and ever. That's right, Gehenim or Kafakel and all this, the distance, to somehow separate the person from the thought. Because the thought is a reality that clings to you forever. Just like, as we said before, the garment of thought clings to the soul. So the soul is eternal. So put it this way, thought contains far more of the soul itself. And that's why it's eternal. This is the soul. We damke nitzchis, and it's eternal. Kamoisha nefesh atma nitzchis, just like the soul itself is nitzchis. And lechein, and therefore, just like this is in a human being, so too is when we're talking about God's thought versus God's speech, the same thing. God's speech is external. And therefore, we become these two differences. Number one, there's a time that God can choose to speak, and a time that God chooses not to speak. Which means the world didn't always exist, and they don't exist forever. There's a time that God decided to speak, and that was during the 6,000 years of the duration of God's speech. Hashem is speaking now, and there is a world. When God stops speaking, the world ceases to exist. Doesn't last forever, it's not eternal. However, Jewish souls, being that they come from thought, and thought is connected to him in a very deep way, so the souls existed from all eternity to all eternity. The souls exist for all eternity because they're part of Hashem's thought. And therefore, the worlds and the creations that stem from the level of speech were originated. They came into being in the 6 days of creation. That was a time of speech. As we said before, there's a time to speak and time to see. They're also going to revert back to nothingness. After the time
that God has decided that the world should stand. 6,000 years that the world exists. Or the Medrash Rabbah. Parash say the Noyach Perik Lama Dalad Mevur Raya Matayri brings a proof from the Torah. Sheyesh Gvul Lamida Sa'olam. There is a limit to the world's existence. Midrash Rabbah it says Kol Yemei Ha'aretz. It says there will never the seasons will never stop. Like but a Mabel God will alter the seasons. Stop the winter, summer, it all stop. God says from now on it will never stop all the days of the earth. If you say all the days, it means that it has a limit. How many days it has? Behind it. The reason is because they come from speech. There's a time to be silent. Time to speak. Shlomo HaMelech in Kehelet goes through all the ace. There's an ace to be happy, the ace to mourn, ace to this, ace to the time to dance, the time to cry. Right? And he says, there's a time to speak, a time to be quiet, to be silent. So by God, there's a time to speak. Which isn't the case by souls. Because they come up in thought. They existed even before 6 days of creation. With the king, they sat over there. Over there, it's speaking about certain individuals that sat with the king and he planned certain activity. I forgot already who it was and which king this is. But one of the people who would sit with the king, and one of the kings of Jewish kings, I think, they sat with the king when he with his work when he did his work. However, the deeper meaning is the Medrash says, "Im ha-melech ha-melech," is referring to with the king, which work when God was creating the worlds, they were there. Yesh Lusham, they sat over there. Who was with them with? When he was with doing his work of creating the world, meaning they preceded the creation, the Jewish souls, they were there. In Melech Malchei Hamlachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the King of all kings, God, Yashvu Neshama Shel Tzadikim, the Flesh Shel Tzadikim, the souls of Tzadikim, Shebehem Nimlach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Abad Esa Oilam. With them God consulted and he created the world. The Gam, so therefore they are in the past. The Gam Lachein Em Nitzchi, and that's why they're forever. Ki Amach Shavu Hu Gam King Tmidish. Thought is constant. And the intelligence and the thought are two friends that cannot be that are inseparable. Like the turtle, the levushe menei obey, that its garments are from within itself. Mentioned above, speech is what? What creates the letters of speech? The letters of speech are create the physical aspect of speech. The physical letters. They're created from the body. They're created from it. So even though you take your ideas and you put them into speech, but you're putting them into words that are created from the outside. They're brought about from other substance. Letters of thought. What creates the thought letters? We think. We have letters in our mind. All thoughts are contained letters. But where do those letters come from? Those letters are created from the very mind process. Meaning, when the person gets an idea, any idea, in order for you to think that idea, it needs letters. But it's the seichel itself that creates those letters. Okay, really we learned something from the shit is that those letters come even from a deeper place in the soul. Even beyond. But meaning to say them, there's no other substance, no other material that is used in forming those letters. Those letters are from within the very character of the soul of its ten soul powers that creates those letters. So it's meneu bei, meaning it comes up like the turtle whose garment is not an outside element. It's from within his body itself. He creates that garment, which isn't him, but nevertheless part of him. Yes. What? Yeah. Meaning other people's thoughts. I don't know, I haven't seen about that, but I would say there's probably two types of thoughts. The thoughts that we originate from within ourselves, and then there are like thoughts that are you know, constantly coming to us from above, from holy places, from non-holy places, it's being it, and we just, you know, rise of thoughts. If we entertain them, and we add our soul energy into it, okay, which means we attach ourselves to it, then they're connected. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, could be. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. I'm sure this brain nerve is taking place, because anything that's going on in the brain is somehow, but anything should be sensed in a physical body has to create some nerve reaction, right? Which is in the thought. But it's not using anything but It's not using up its potential, because the soul is endless. It's so, yeah, that's right. And therefore it's intimately bound up with the soul. And when we say that the Jewish soul comes from God's thought, it means that the souls and God are very intimately one. Now, chayin, oh hold it. Mashe of a gam. Oh, 3 months already. However, hanim sham esam mechulakim b'maylo madrega. Souls are divided in their level. Zem is that one from the other. Ki yesh samach reish neshamish rashi. There are 600,000 primary souls. Root souls, the chol shaylik mishaydish mischalik la'anotim, and every root gets broken up, gets subdivided into branches. La'anotim, and the branches when it takes into the spark. So it's like the same case with ananit. Keneged samach reish oisi yishav ha'Torah, corresponding to the 600,000 letters of the Torah. Af shav ha'Torah ein nimtza samach reish oisi. So even though in the Torah we don't find 600,000 letters, it's because of the oisius of that are oisius, that letters that are unpronounced letters, shem oisius aleph hey vav yud, which are the letters of aleph hey and vav yud, shebachlal hanekudas, which are included in the nekudas, sheenin bechsav, that are not written, avol yeshnam de machshava, but they are in thoughts, shehakometzu aleph, a komet is aleph. Achirik yud, and the chiruk is yud. Ach ezem anekudas hem eni yedua does not know. What he's saying is like this: these thoughts of God, when we say the neshama is the neshama comes from God's thoughts, that means that neshamas are bound up with Torah, because Torah is God's wisdom. He said before that the thoughts. Here's the thing: he said before that thoughts. What creates thoughts? Where does the thought stem from? The thought stems from the seichel. It's the intellect, the intelligence itself that creates the thoughts. It's like when you have an idea, that idea right away articulates itself in words. Because without words, you couldn't. It's something like this. It's like when you're working with a certain image on a computer or something, and you need to transmit that image, information. It has to take it. Certain things have to be taken, and they have to be first transmitted into what? Into a format of what? So a different type of a format. A format of, numbers. So what is that? That's taking it and breaking it, putting it, and that's an order for its transmission. Same is also with thought. The concept, the idea, is like an image, like a thing. But now, in order for it to be communicated through the process to man himself, it needs that be put into those words. So it's the word stemming from the seichel itself. So Torah is God's wisdom. If we're saying that the Jewish souls are what? Jewish souls are God's thoughts. What brings about those thoughts? Where does the thoughts come from? It's thoughts that are created by his wisdom. Which means that the source of the Jewish soul is the Torah.
Because the Torah is the wisdom of Hashem, the Hashem's essential wisdom. And just like in a human being, when you have a concept, a flash, an insight, a new idea, that idea transmits itself to you through words, through Isis. So they, and the Isis stem, their whole power is that, is the idea that created them, that brought about these letters. So too, it's in God, it's the Torah. And from the Torah emerge the 600,000 souls. And that's why it says that the word Yisrael, the Magal Emuk, says the word Yisrael means Israel, the word Yisrael means, of course, the acronym of the word is Yesh, Shishim, Ribay, Isis, Lataira. There are 600,000 letters of the Torah. Because the Torah is the source, it's the wisdom of Hashem that creates these 600,000 letters. So the 600,000 souls, well, we know really there's much more souls than, more than 600,000 Jews. But these are really the root souls. 600,000 original souls. Each soul is like the tree that branches off into many branches. And the branches branch off into smaller twigs. And the twigs branch off into little leaves. And the leaves, right, so it gets into smaller, right? And that's the same thing with souls. 600,000 primary souls. But then there is the tzitzim and the tzitzim. And it says that each soul has 600,000 sparks. So someone makes the chesed of how many billion. A number of a couple of billion, whatever. Maybe billions of souls there are. Altogether, if you get them down to the very, very detail. But they all come from it. Now you're going to say, wait, in the Torah, if you count, there isn't 600,000 letters in the Torah. In the Torah, there's only what? Around 300,000, 300 and something thousand letters of the, in the Torah. So we don't find any 600,000 letters in the Torah. You can count it tonight, after the Shir. Start in the whole Chumash, in the five books. In the five books, there aren't 600, there's 300 something letters. So the explanation, why do we mean that there's 600,000 letters? So we know that every that there's Isis Ahemsha, meaning the Nekudot. When I say, let's say, Tzadik, Tza. So Tzadik Aleph. So the Tza, the sound Tzadik, the Torah only puts a Tzadik. But in order to make it the Tza sound, it has to have an Aleph there. But the Aleph isn't there. It's a Nekudot. So it's as if there was an Aleph there. Tzadik. Now the Dalid you have already a Yud in the Tzadik. But many letters where you don't have we only have a nekuda, you don't have the letter. And we know in the Torah itself there's no nekudot. So what do you mean that really there's missing letters over there? But those letters are not written, but where are they? They're in thought. The oishis, those letters are letters, the concealed letters, because they're the letters of thought, not the letters of speech. Now really, you're going to say, well, if you're going to do that, you're going to find more than 600,000 letters. You're going to take every nekuda in the Torah where there's no, and you're going to count them. So the Alter Rebbe says, we don't know which ones of those Isis Hemshech are counted, and which ones are not counted as the 600 primary letters. Meaning, one person can sit down and say, okay, I'm going to break this down and see. Right? Because you can't, because there are sometimes that those Isis Hemshech are counted, those hidden letters are counted, some of them they're not counted as the letters of the Torah. And I'm sure it works by a certain system, which is complicated, I don't know. When the Alter Rebbe says, we don't know. Well, we don't know. So to know which letters are counted and how they're now counted. But the fact that it's not the revealed letters, it's the concealed letters, indicates more how the Jewish souls are God's letters of thought, not letters of speech. So now, because really you can argue that in speech you also have those hidden letters. I don't want to do it. So let's see. He says, even though in the Torah ain nimtza, samach reish oisiyos. Just so, even though in the Torah we don't find 600,000 letters, I know it may oisiyos ahemsha, because the continuing letters. Shem oisiyos ha aleph hey vav yud. Shabachlav ha nekudot. They're included in the nekudot. She ain't a b'ksav. They are not written. They're in thought. Shahakama to Alice, Bahiruk, Yud, is a Yud. Ah, Ezemah Nekudos Heim, Enigadu. Which Nekudos they are, that's not known. The Im came, but the main point is that, wow, that souls are connected. That's what we say, what do we say? And that's the meaning of this statement. Yisroel, Vairaisa, Vakuchabiruchu, Kulachat. Yidden, the Torah, and God are one. But just like in a human being.
there is the person, there is his wisdom, and then there are the thoughts that are created in that process of that wisdom that come from the mind. And they're all intrinsically bound up one with each other. So too, by God, there is God. There is his wisdom, which is the Torah. And there is the thoughts that that wisdom articulated in words and in letters. It's those letters which each letter constitutes the Jewish soul. And 600,000 letters. And why do souls vary? What's the variance of souls? The various different types of neshamas. Higher souls, lower souls. The variation of souls. The variation of souls is because of the variation of letters. Depending which letter. Each letter conveys a different idea of the mind. But however, after all this, he asks the question. Souls come from these deep and high planes. What do we mean the neshama has to come down? Why would the neshama come down into a body, into this lowly, lowly world? See, he said before, all worlds are inferior, infinitely inferior to the soul. For the soul is infinite, the soul is part of God. The worlds exist temporarily, 600,000 years. What kind of shallow existence is that? Compared to something that's eternal and forever. Compare it to an existence that is a temporary existence. 6,000 years. To have an alma that the world exists. Now, let alone for the soul itself to come in, even if it was come into the highest worlds, it would be a tremendous diminishment. It would be almost a crime. Tragic to bring the soul in. God brings the soul into the most nether of nether, the lowliest of all worlds. Where our world compared to the high worlds is also a nothing. So here we're dealing, you know, in Sfiras Ayinu, we say, Chesed Sheva Chesed. We're dealing with nothing Sheva nothing. Total nothingness. And take the neshama and put it into this body, into this lowly. Watch them. So we say, this is all purpose for it to ascend. What kind of ascent can it get from this lowly world? Imke yapala lama yarda neshamas kol kach lamata. Why the neshamas descend so low? You know that it is known. The fetish masha anu oimin in b'chol yoyin. We say every day, Hamasnas and Yemoy Soilam, that God is exalted from the days of the world. And then we continue, Virachamecha Harabim Rachim Olein, with your great mercy, please have mercy on us. So what's the connection? We say, Akel Hamasnas and Yemoy Soilam, that God, you're beyond the world, you're exalted way beyond, above the creation. And then God, please have mercy on us. What's the connection? They explain the connection. Why do we ask for pity? What's the great pitiful state? What is the great pitiful state of the soul? The pitiful state of the soul is that the neshama, that God really transcends the world to all infinity. God is infinitely higher and infinitely beyond the creation. And all of creation, as we said earlier, is only one little letter, one little articulation of speech that has absolutely no significance whatsoever. And now, the neshama comes from that world. The neshama comes from that space of thought, which is higher in the world. Now we understand the tremendous rachmanis. This is a great, as we spoke in the last week's class, I think the Yalta have elaborated great length, the tremendous rachmanis of a neshama that's trapped in the body. Tremendous neshama on the a tremendous rachmanis on the neshama that came down from the great, from this very high peak, from a rooftop. Haina machshakta is borrowed from God's thought. Hamasnase ni yamoyt oilam. We emphasize, it's higher, God is exalted from the days of the world. Because the world exists in a framework of days. In a limited fashion, in a framework of time, 6,000 years. And the neshamas come from a place that is beyond time, beyond days. And achmanis kedayla, tremendous achmanis for the neshama to come down. So now the neshama comes down, lamata ma'oid, ba'oidam azeh. And the neshama descended very, very low into our world. Beguf the nefesh Bahamas, in the body and in the animals. Acha inyan, so the idea is, acha inyan noida, the idea is no. But this whole defense is for the sake of an effect. Kitzur. And here we summarize. We begin with Inyan Ilimali Shandi Yisrael Shtei Shabbosos. The sages tell us that Yidden would have kept two Shabbos, and we would have been redeemed. Then he asked what it, and explained that it means to two Shabbos, is every Shabbos has two Shabbos. So he needs to explain what does that mean, what are the two Shabbos in every Shabbos. To understand that, he explains that there is a concept called Aliyah Sa'olam. Shabbos is all about the world's ascending. He asks, and that also prayer. Prayer is the Shabbos of the week, and that's when the world's ascend. The question was, what ascend? If Hashem is everywhere, where are you ascending? Inyan Oilus Tamid Va'olus Shabbos, what does that mean? Mahu Kiddush Aliyah. What does it mean to ascend? To explain this, he says, first we have to understand that Yuvan Bahagin, we have to understand Inyan Yeridus HaNeshama Lagul. And the Neshama coming down into a body, Shugam came to the Chaliyah. It's also for the sake of an ascent. And what is this all about? The Inyan Aliyah Yuvan. And the concept of this Aliyah will be understood Apimaymer, based on this that it says, Boyre Kedoshim Yishnabach Shimcha La'at. God creates holy ones. May His name be praised forever. Say in davening also, in the Yotzer Or, before the brachas, before the Shmon Esser, before the Shema, they say, Boyle Kedoshim, God creates holy ones, and the simple meaning of these holy ones that God creates refers to the angels. Because in the whole verses over there, we were discussing the angels. And we're speaking about how they praise God, right? So, Boyle Kedoshim, God creates the holy ones. However, the Altar Rebbe over here explains that Kedoshim refers to Neshamas. That the souls are called Bairei Kedoshim. Ki HaNeshamas Nikran Kedoshim. The Neshamas are called holy. Kama Sha'imim B'Shmayna Esrei, we say in Shmayna Esrei, U'Kedoshim B'Chol Yoyim Ya'alalucha Selah. And the holy ones every day will praise you forever. The Ka'al HaNeshamas. This refers to the souls. How do you know it refers to the souls? We say, not the Kaddish, you're holy. U'Kedoshim B'Chol Yoyim Ya'alucha Selah. Maybe it's angels. Shemetchila Oynim say the Kedushim. Because first we say the Kedusha, meaning we say the Kedusha that we say by the repetition of Shmona Esrei, we say Kedusha before At the Kaddish. We say, and that is all speaking about the angels, how they praise Hashem. Kenoyam Shiach Shoy Tzarte Kaddish, like the holy celestial beings serve Sim Hashem. They say Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish. But, and then, after we finish with the song of the angels, we go on and we say, and now there's a higher soul. The song of the souls. At the Kaddish, Hashem Kaddish. And now the true transcendent ones, the true holy ones, which are the souls. Shemetchila Oymen say the Kedusha Shalom Allah. Eichsha Oymen Kaddish Ubarach Ve'imlo. How they say these three different types of praises to God, Kaddish Ubarach Ve'imlo. V'charkach Oymen Oyv, and then we continue and say, U'Kedoshim B'chol Yoyim Ala Neshamas. The Kedoshim every day refers to the souls. The oyvim to say them will matter the mile. And we're going by order from the lower to the higher, from the inferior to the superior. Achilah, we say, Kedushas HaMalachim, the sanctifying of the Malachim, how the Malachim sing praise to God. And why are they in a lower level? Besides the fact that we said earlier that the angels are from a world of creation, from the world of speech, Shamash are from the world but he's explaining over here also in the idea that we call them Kaddish. In their Kedusha, in their transcendence, why are angels called holy beings? They're called holy beings. Why are they called holy beings? Because their holiness means detached, removed from, separated. Lashon Havdalah, separation. Malachim are separate. Separated from what? Separated from corporality. Separated from physicality. We are in a body, trapped in a body, in a physical existence. Angels are sublime beyond that. Nevertheless, Malachim also have a guf. They don't have a coarse body like we have. They're unable of body. We explained in last week's class. The Malachim have a body consisting of the two elements of fire and wind. Fire and wind are the two elegant elements from the four elements. Fire, wind, and water, and earth, and the more refined elements. And even those elements of fire and wind, it's not the earthly elements of fire and wind. It's the more spiritual element of fire and wind. But nevertheless, it's still characterized in some body, the angels. Souls, as they are in heaven, are bodiless, have no body whatsoever. And therefore, we say, Kedoshim, They're completely abstract, intangible, beyond anybody. Allahim have a body, points to the Daniel. Say to Yitzir. No, it's just Simin Yud. Doesn't Daniel Simin Yud? The Giviyasai to Tarshish. Its body is like Tarshish. I guess Tarshish is a crystal type of a thing. It's a very translucent, a transparent type of a body. Very edel a body. Very refined. Angels. Not souls. Souls, ways? I don't know. Ksiv and it says, I don't know what souls they were in. Ksiv and it says, Oishtem alachav ruchais. It's also possible that the soul, we're talking about the Nefesh of Ahamis, as it's closest, that the biological soul, has some type of weight. It's a chiddush to say. It's a novelty to say that. But if you say, it's possible, because it's already closer to the physical realms, and it's meant to pass the physical, and it could be that they're able to sense it to a point where it has some type of relationship to physics. So that's already the physical soul, the biological soul. Talk about the neshama, the soul in it. So here, Tzibin, it says, Oysam halachav ruchais, mesharsav eish loyeh. The concept that we said before, Hashem makes his malachim ruchais from wind, mesharsav his attendant eish loyeh, a flaming fire. And therefore, since they have some sort of body, Hamalachim place them up. That's why they also occupy space. Sheyesh malach gadol mahalach tuf kufshana. This perfectly sense. If angels have some degree of space, then the nefesh of Ahamis, which is derived from the angels, they sure have are spatial creatures. Sheyesh malach gadol mahalach tuf kufshana. There is a great malach that means. The space of this malach is the distance of 500 years of travel, whatever that means. The yesh malach, the shlisha oilam, and the angels that occupy a third of the world on some level, meaning they have. But the fact that we can speak about a third of the world, we you know that type of talk means that they exist within a certain spatial framework. I knew aguf shalem. And that is their body, Gadol Golkach, has this great size, a great enormous size of existence. Shehu b'chinas makrin, this is in the time of space. U'ma'achas and b'chinas makrin, and since they exist within the context of space, harayim damkin b'chinas man, so they're also within the framework of time. Sha'a makrin b'azman sh'nayim and nirvan b'chinas echad. Time and space are intertwined one with each other. Time and space are intrinsically bound on with each other. Anything that exists within the realms of time, within the realms of space, also by has to exist within time. What are we holding? Give me a second. Yashem of Alachena, therefore, Yashlem Eitz Kavu Aloy Mashira. That's why they also have a set time to sing to God, to say Shira. The neshama have no time and no space. Because they're in the state of kedosh. Kedosh, what does kedosh mean? Hainu muvdal, separate. The soul that is the way it is above, and muvdal in the b'chinas guf l'damu. They're completely beyond body. They're utterly beyond space, beyond time. And the chayin ainum gamkein the b'chinas man. And that's why they don't exist at all within time. The Alkain, and therefore, Shira Shalahem u b'chol yoyim. What does the Pasuk emphasize? U kedoshin b'chol yoyim. Yalalu chasela. Kedoshin b'chol yoyim yalalu chasela. Every day. What do you mean every day? And b'chol yoyim doesn't mean just every day. B'chol yoyim means the whole day. Meaning always. B'chol yoyim and yalalu chasela. Eternal. Forever. The angels have their set time when they say Shiva. Like the Malach said to Esav, to Yaakov, I'm saying. The Malach of Esav said, I have my time, I have to go up. Because they were all within the frame, within the context of time. There's that one, this is what we say, U'kadoshim b'chol yayin yahalalucha. V'gam sela, and also the word sela means, b'li hefzik, without an interruption. The mind, as it says, Yelchu mechayim al chayim. They go from strength to strength. V'chol hilach v'aliyahu ayidei shir da'at. And every going and every ascent is through singing. says Yelchum Echai Elochaya. They're always going, ascending from level to level, higher and higher. And we know that once that progress by souls brought progress by every spiritual being, meaning what is the progress? Progress is ascending higher and higher, higher into higher rungs of spiritual of existence, of higher levels of godliness. How does one ascend? Through song. All ascendance goes through song. The word from the Magid. Kol Ba'alei Shir Yotzim Mishir. Simply it means that anybody that has to wear ornaments. Shir is different types of ornaments. You have a lot of wear on Shabbos. There is different types of jewelry. And things. Kol Ba'alei Shir Yotzim Mishir, according to the Magid's interpretation, is Kol Ba'alei Shir Yotzim Mishir. All the masters of song, which refers to the celestial beings and the Mishamis, which they're all about song, praising to God. Yotzim, they go out of their level to ascend to a higher level, Bashir, with a song. So all ascend is with song. And that's why they're constantly singing, because they're constantly going higher and higher and higher. Why they're Shir Da? The Gam, and also, he made the Kedoshim Lashon Rabbah. We say, U'Kedoshim, and the Holy Ones, Sheyesh B'chinas Kedoshim Rabbah. There are many levels of Kedosh, Devoya Mal, Devoya Adrim Amayos. Things like this. Not only that, what? That souls themselves singing to God constantly. Their song is higher. Their song is a constant thing because they're constantly moving up. It's also what they're accessing. Being that there is levels of God called the heart, there is that element that's called Kadosh because it's beyond creation. Beyond the existence. Then we say, right, that's called Kaddish. But then there is a level that is even beyond that. And that is Kaddish in comparison to the previous level. And that is Kaddish goes higher and higher and higher. Being that there is, this goes on to all infinity because God is endless. Therefore, there's no, you can never reach Him, His essence. So therefore, there is infinite myriads and myriads and myriads of levels of Kaddish. So the neshamas which are reaching out higher and higher and higher in their ascending gods, so as they're going higher, they're reaching higher levels of kedusha. That's what he said. The end of the kedusha, Moshe Ram, said the kedusha Ram, Gavoya Mal Gavoya, Adruma Ma'ilus to the highest. Zayah Lelucha Sela, it will exalt you forever. Kihine, that's what it means. They will praise you forever. Kihine Ahilo, because what brings a person to praise? Umachnes Ha'asaga Va'atayim Melakusi Yisbar. It comes from their comprehension. It comes from their delight. When you play something, and you experience the sensation, and you experience the delight of something, it brings you, it evokes a praise. It brings you to praise. So when the soul experiences a new insight, a greater understanding in God, it has a greater sensation. So it praises. That's its praise. So being that their understanding and their appreciation and their comprehension keeps on going deeper and deeper and deeper. So their praise keeps on going on and on. Is that what Gan Eden? And this is what Gan Eden is all about. This is the pleasure of souls in their comprehension. Meziv Hashchina from the radiance of the Shchina. Better Shomer Zal, as the sages say, Mutzav the Ladaine. It is good, it is better to judge him, the Lace of Alma the Usher, so he should come to the world to come. Shekadai Kol Yisudei Gehenim. It is worthwhile all the suffering of Gehenim. Afgam Bishlok Taini Gan Eden Atach. Even only just for the pleasure of the lower Gan Eden. Well, better than similar to this, Yashiribu Madreg is the Iliyacha Ili. And then, in many levels, higher, superior, higher, higher, higher. Agam Shabbos Svarim Loi Nisker Agbez Madreg. Even though, generally, in the Svarim, it only mentions two levels. Berach Klal in a very general form. Ganeid Na Elyon, the supernal upper Ganeid, and Ganeid Na Tach, the lower Ganeid. Hainu, so he said, he's asking the question. He said before that Ganeid is endless. Higher, 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 souls are constantly ascending. He said, but on the other hand, we know there's two levels of Gan Eden, Gan Eden Atach and Gan Eden Ayin. That's only that has been revealed to us, two levels of Gan Eden. Really, this goes on endlessly. There's no end in one's godly experience. God is endless. And he mentioned before, and even on the lowest level of Gan Eden, on the lowest level, it's worth it to suffer. We once, in one of the classes, we went through hundreds of years of the worst type of suffering of Gehenna, which we say that Gehenna is, one moment in Gehenna is worse than 70 years of suffering of Job, of Eel. So it's worth to suffer that suffering for one moment. For hundreds of years, in order to come to the delights of the lowest Tameem and go understand. And then we say higher and higher and higher, endless the pleasures of the soul. They praise you forever, believe that's it. Without an end. Ah, so after all this, the Alter Rebbe says, so notwithstanding the tremendous aliyah that the neshamas had when they're above, this is even before the neshama comes on here. The neshama is in a constant state of higher, of ascendancy. It's going up higher and higher and higher in its connection to Hashem. Notwithstanding all of that, it's still a nebuch on the neshama. It's still pitiful for the soul. Not a nebuch on the neshama coming down. It's a tremendous nebuch of the soul. It's tremendous pity on the neshama that it's where it is, even in that high state. Why? Because that very same verse that calls the neshama kedoshim, those that are what kadosh, and therefore the kedoshim b'chol yoyin haladuch asava endlessly. That very same verse also explains why the neshama needs to come down here below. And all of its experience up here amounts to absolutely nothing. Why? Because Bayrei Kedosh. Because after all, it exists within the realm of Bayrei creation. Not creation as we spoke before. Because before we explained the whole time how the neshamas come from God's thoughts, and God's thoughts transcend creation. Creation is only through the level of speech. And this is thought. Thought is intimate. Thought is something personal in him. It's not an outside thing. It's not a creation. But nevertheless, within the godly element itself, it exists within the aspect of Bria, of Bayre, Bayre Kedosh. And therefore, Yishtabach Shimcha, its whole praise of God is only Shimcha in God's name. And it has absolutely no connection to God's essence. And the name, when compared to the essence, is valueless. Therefore, the neshama has to come down here, l'mata, so that it can access the essence of God. Because the essence of God is only available down here in this world, in the mitzvah, in the tefillin that you wrap around your head. Here is where you're tapping into the something that's beyond simcha, something that Gan Eden can't give you, and the highest Gan Eden can give you. Only physical mitzvahs down here, l'mata, is where God's essence is available. And that's what he's going to explain and elaborate at great length now for them. Makom makom, and after all this, Nemer Aleim, it says upon them, Bayrei Kedoshim Yishtabach Shimcha. Hi. Meaning, Shimkol Hashvach Hazeh, with all this praise, Shal B'chinnis HaNeshamas of the souls, Bechol B'chinnis HaKedoshim, and all the levels of holiness, Adrum HaMailas, to the most exalted levels, Eindam Mekabrum HaMasigim, they don't receive, they're not recipients, they don't comprehend, Elam b'chinas shmoyim bach. Only from his name, dovaz, shed b'chinas zu, hem mahalam and sela. Now the name of God, being it's a name of an endless being, God is endless, so his name is endless. So therefore, one can go on in infinite sensation just of the name. But it's only the name. So even though it provides infinite delight and infinite satisfaction and infinite pleasure, it's not the real thing. And we want the real thing. This is what they praise. Because this is what supports their whole existence. This is what the whole context of their being is. The Maimon is always the sages tell us, Nehana Mizivashina. They delight in what? Only in the ziv, in the radiance of the Shekhinah. Or bezoyer, a ray, a ziv is a ray. Or bezoyer, nikra b'lashon oyer. And the Zohar calls it oyer, a light. Kama shekasa be'etz chayim, oyer ein soif, the light of the infinite, or the infinite light. But it's only a light. So why do we call it light? It's interesting. Why call it light? Light, it seems to be all over in Zohar, and we speak about God's influence as light. Light seems to be the wrong description. Light gives already a certain physical description to it. We should have called it Shefa. Shefa Ein Sof. we say in davening, but all your days are now, yishpa shefara, a flow, a great, a flow, what? Downpour of energy. That's undescriptive. Whatever it is, we know what the godly is. Whatever it is, vokishu, it's a gay shefa. It's not descriptive. When you're saying light, you're already describing it by something. So why use light? But the reason why they're using the light metaphorically is because they're trying to bring out one point. That everything coming from God is not of his essence. It's only a ray. Just like the ray of the sun doesn't capture anything of the sun itself. The sun gives off a ray. So it's not like the sun is getting used up. Some argue that they think that the sun is getting used up and one day there won't be anything. But the rays, why? Because a ray is just a reflection. It doesn't capture anything of you. Just like you don't get used up by reflecting in the mirror the whole day. You don't lose weight by looking at the mirror the whole day. Are you projecting the projection in the mirror? So there's part of you going off over there. It's only a ray. That's not you. And if it's only a ray, it doesn't have anything of you. A ray doesn't have anything. So now, and that's the same thing with Hashem. All of existence, everything, with all the Gan Eden, with all that, it's all like a reflection in the mirror of Hashem. It's all a reflection. That's all. And whatever they're rising in, whatever their whole sense, it's all within that reflection in the mirror that they're all going within. That's what they name. There's nothing of his essence now. K'maymer, as he says, derech mashal oyer Hashem, is the light of the sun. That illuminates to the earth, the ladarim, and to the inhabitants. It's only a ray, and a ray. The nechsha of the ayin the efetz, and it's considered naught, and absolutely nothing. Look how the etzem hashemesh to the essence of the sun, which is the source of the light and the radiance and the ray. There's absolutely no change in the sun itself. If it shines, if the clouds were black, or if the windows of the house are closed, the shutters are closed, and therefore no light is coming in, and the light doesn't go. And the sun makes absolutely no difference what's happening to the sunlight. It doesn't care. Because it's not giving of its essence. It is what it is. It is a luminous substance, whatever it is, a fiery globe or whatever of something. And because of its luminance, it gives off an upshine. An upshine is like nothing of it. And what happens with that? Who cares? It's not relevant to the sun. And make absolutely no change in the sun. If it will reach some, it won't reach some. Same thing as all, whatever is in the ray of God's ray, meaning all worlds don't make absolutely no difference in him, no change in him, no dent in him whatsoever. Now, the Nimshach Lemeni is Baruch Hu drawn from him. So now, that's the Oyer Ein Sof. Now the Oyer Ein Sof as it is, here's the thing. It's only a ray, but it's a reflection of him. If it's a reflection of him, he's infinite. So the reflection is what? Is also infinite. And therefore the angels, not the angels, even the Neshamas, and the most exalted being that they have some identity, they're a thought, they're a letter, they have some character, and this light is characterless, personalityless, because it's beyond, in a positive way, because it's beyond any definition, it's beyond any personality. They have absolutely no comprehension of it, of this radiance of Hashem, even of His light. So from that light, through many, many contractions, and many, many, many powerful sintsumen, which means contractions and filters that filter it and bring it down to a point that some tiny bit of it could trickle into the minds of the neshamas that they should be able to relate to it and understand it. That it could be understood the kedushin anal as we said before. As we mean ziv hashchin, a little radiance. V'zehu Piddush, and this is what we mean, Yishtabach Shimcha. They praise your name. Now he's going to connect that. And that's the same idea of name. Name and array is the same thing. So the name expresses the same idea. This idea that's called in the Zohar Oyer, Nikra Gamting Shem, it's also called a name. As it is written in Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar in the third chapter, before the world was created, God and His name were alone. Now the question is, what do you mean God and His name were alone? Before the world was created, there is no name to Hashem. When does a person need a name? When does one need a name? You need a name when there are others who need to relate to you, they need a name. Right? A name is only so that others can relate to you. If you are the exclusive, the only being, there's absolutely no need for a name. So before Hashem was created, there is no name. Because the name is only a way that we can call Him, we can relate. What's the name? The picture of Allah says, before the world was created, God and His name were one. He was the only. But where was His name? The answer is, the name of Hashem is that energy, that ray of light that reaches, that goes out, and later results as a source of the creation. That's His name. Now, just like the ray of the sun, even though the ray of the sun doesn't have any of the essence of the sun, that we should say that, wow, that it has a little percent of the sun, even one billionth of a billionth of a billionth of a percent, that's nothing, because it's only a ray, it doesn't have anything of it. Nevertheless, the rays of the sun exist within the sun, prior to what? To them coming out. They're there within the sun. And then they go out. So too, God, that ray of Hashem's light, the Oyer Ein Sof, the infinite light, which is a reflection of Him, before God reflected it, so to speak, to the outside, it was contained within it. And that's what we mean. It's almost as if you say, the potentiality to create was within Him. It's that ray power, it's that thing that's there, which was always. The hakel hoylech al makam echad. It all goes to the same place. The kavana achas, all the same kavana. Lahavin, to understand, inyan chayas alakus, amachayas kol oylamus. To understand the energy of God that creates all worlds. Ach, why are we using all these analogies? It all comes to explain, ech she'ena negeya klal la'atzmius. How it doesn't have any significance at all to the etzem, to His essence, to His very being. Rak. She'kol medrish medaber v'loshen achad. Every medrash speaks in a different language. Umashal achar, in another analogy. So one uses ray, the other one uses name. So just like the commercial custom, as it says, v'yadabr shloshes alof umashal. Shloshes alof spoke 3,000 mashal. Meaning he can explain something in 3,000 different analogies. V'chein v'loshen mikra, hugam kein v'loshen shein. Also when the pasuk, in the actual scripture, when scripture wants to describe this type of the relationship of God to the creation, it also doesn't use the Kabbalistic term, the Zoharic term of light. It uses the term of Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer of name. The Kamoi, we speak about Hashem's names. The Kamoi Hashem, just like the name Hashem Yikru Lo Yal Derech Moshe. Now we're going to explain this idea how you really see it in a name, just like a name. By way of analogy, when a person is called by a certain name, Avram, Harein Aroi Hashem Legabatz Musa Yemuhusheshalaadam, the name doesn't have any significance to the very essence of the person. The Ein Negeya LeKlal, and it doesn't have any significance to him. Shebet Me'atzma Ein Tzarich Lashem. Because a person by himself doesn't need his name. The Im calls that, nevertheless. I'll be saying it. See, how about when a person has a name? What is your name? Your name is that someone else should call you by name. Now we think about it sometimes, if you look at it superficially. Our name is nothing. I mean, just happen to be called cool. By tomorrow I can change my name. Another name. Other people call me another name. A name doesn't have anything of me whatsoever. This name is my name. My name I go by. So that people call me by the name. There's no energy in that name. Anything of me. So, from that perspective, we understand the valuelessness of a name. How it really doesn't have anything. But on the other hand, the name really emanates from the person. Your name really comes from you. Not like people superimpose the name. The name is the ray of your soul. That's your name. Because it explains in Chassidus as follows. The name of a person is what bonds body and soul. The soul doesn't have a name. The soul, prior to its descent, when it is in its pristine state in heaven, has no name. When does the neshama acquire a name? When the soul comes down into a body, and now it's going to radiate a life, infuse the body with life, with energy. That's not the essence of the soul. The essence of the soul doesn't enliven the body. It's a ray of the soul. It's that power, being that the soul is inherently a living being, something that is inherently alive, it gives forth rays of life. And those rays of life is what enlivens the body. But every soul enlivens the body, its particular body, in a unique manner. In which manner does it enliven this body? And a different soul enlivens the other body in a different manner, in its own unique way. That's why everybody has their own personality traits and ways that their soul expresses itself in the body. That's your name. That is in accordance to those letters of your name that create that particular blend of how the neshama enlivens the body. Now, even though there are many people with the same name, and they can be as different as night and day, right? But, however, good, because in a letter there's so much to one letter, so you don't know what aspect is dominant in that particular letter in that particular name. So the idea of a name is the connection of soul and body. To the body, the name is everything. Just like in relationship to another person, my name is everything to you. Because it's through my name that you access it. If you don't know my name, you can't approach it. So the way you approach the person is only through his name. But to the person himself, he doesn't need his name. So to the soul. The soul itself doesn't need a name. But to the body needs a name. And how do parents know the name? So the Arizal says in Shara Ruach HaKodesh or Shara Nevuah, that when parents, or Shara Gugulim, that when parents by a bris, or when a parent name their child, there's a certain Ruach HaKodesh that goes on, that God puts the name into their head. It fits, that is the right name. And that's why there are some parents who are makpe, they're careful to try to call their children by their full name always. You can say it opens up channels. It empowers, instead of giving a nickname, but to call someone by their name empowers, because really it's that channel. I mean, I guess the more you call it, the more it has a, yeah. Why did the Rebbe, whenever you came to wear a name, the Rebbe always asked, what's your English name? And he would always give a name similar to that English name, usually. He would ask, you have your own name. If you have a Jewish name, he would say his English name, and then he would say a name that's sort of quite similar to that. It's possible that, the name that was given, even as an English, even as a secular name, it's letters, it's also letters. It's just close to it. So you need a Hebrew name, so it's sort of a shell, a surrounding to that real energy. And when you get your Hebrew name, you're discovering it. But you're getting it then. You've always had it. And if someone doesn't have a name at all, in terms of, so maybe you get that inspiration at that time to know what your name is. So let's read. The Hainu. Oh. The Imkozeh. So even though we say that the name has absolutely no significance, Imkozeh, nevertheless, the Slabish Hachayas Ba'oichis Hashem. The Chayas of the soul is enclosed in the letters of the name. How do you know that? How do you know a name has any? Maybe a name is just, we made up a name. As it says, by Adam Rishon, Hashem brought all the animals to Adam, that he should see what he will call it. And everything that Adam would call the soul of that living being, whatever name he would give it, that's its name. And the Medrash says, from here God proved to the angels the wisdom of the human being. Now the human being is wiser than they are. They couldn't. He has a greater intelligence than them. Now the question is, well, what's the intelligence? Anybody can make up any name. There was no copyright there. Right? It was still the original, right? He can make up all the names he wants at that moment. So the answer is, no. He was able to look at every creature, because the name really does contain, it relates to the form of life that there is. And he was able to look at this particular being, at this particular animal, and be able to detect what's its soul energy. And then he gave its true name. So yes, shaychus mamish l'ashem aletzim adavar. There is a shaychus. There is a connection of the name to the thing itself. They not scum of the alma. It's not just made up. The haynu shalderech mashakasim zivushavenim. But this is to be explained. So what is it? On the one hand, we say the name is what? It's nothing. It's external. A person doesn't need his name. Don't we say the outside? On the other hand, you say, well, the name is connected to your very life. Shara Yichud Vemunah. So this could be understood according to what it says over there. So Perik Aleph. Zeh Shemay Hashikra Leib Elashim HaKadosh. No, sorry, not explaining this to him. You're just saying, this that we say that the name of something is intrinsically connected to it, is similar to what it says in Tanya. Tanya says that what? The name of every object, not even of human, not only of living things, everything. Any name in Hebrew, Elashim HaKadosh, in the Holy Tongue, is a keli, is a vessel to the chayus, to that mitzumtzum, that contracted energy that is in these letters. That came down through a process down from the 10 utterances. When Hashem spoke the world, 10 utterances, he said 10 general utterances, and then from each one it branches off into the many, many, many very different names that every creature has. Better than the same is also b'shema adam, in the name of man. The neshama itself, prior to its coming into a body, ain't the cross b'shem klal. It's not going to have any name. Kama shekasu the tashas balak apasik mimana. Ubepirish for adam loymata ezer. Over there explains it how souls in essence don't have any names. For whom aha Ramban sham, and this is all from the Ramban over there. Nimtza comes out, Hashem, Eino lepchines ha-neshama atzma. The name is not for the neshama itself. V'harei, and he says, Gam b'guf atzma ein Hashem loyo. The body itself, a soulless body, also doesn't need a name. A dead body, without a name. So what is the significance of the name? The significance of the name is the importance and the function of the name is to bind body and soul. Ach Hashem, the soul, the name is Mekasher and Neshama Beguf, communicates the soul to the body. The Achayus and Nimshach Maneshama Mechaya Guf Unishrash VaHashem, and the life that is drawn from the soul and alive in the body is rooted in the name. The Haynu Ruvain, the name Ruvain Chayus Shaloi Ba'osius Reish Aleph. The life of this person is in the letters Reish Aleph. Because this is connected to the idea of Riyah, seeing. Ru'u means to see. And this type of soul is a soul that has connected to vision. K'moshikot. The Barab is Pasha Shemois. Shemois is connected to hearing. Ruvain Shanem. Ra'ai Ra'isi. I have seen. The Ayin Shom, Inyan Shemus. But the name signifies. The Ayin Mashikot. So you see that the name has to do with the character of the person. The Leah and Leah, the mother of Reuven, it's only feet. By ordinary people, we don't understand when we name our child why we name it. We just pick a child. Usually you're naming it after someone or whatever. However, Leah, the prophet gives a reason why she named it that way, because she was able to look at her child and see it in that particular end, just like Adam had that wisdom, and she named it. Machma, the Leah Machmasher, Atza HaMaisa, she was able to see in the future the act of Reuma Bein Bini. Look at the difference between my son and Esau. Says that she saw when Reuven went and he tried to save Yosef, even though Yosef was a competition to him. Nevertheless, he wanted to save her. She said, "Look at the difference between me, my son, and my father-in-law's brother. Oh no, my father-in-law's son, Yitzchak's. Her father-in-law was Yitzchak's son. Esau wanted to kill Yaakov, because of his animosity, he wanted to kill him. And look at Reuven, what a tzaddik he is, that he wants to save his brother. So it had to do with something that she saw. It had to do with Ra'amim. So she saw this, you know, Yada, she knew, Sheshoyrish Nishmasai, the root of his soul, Ba'aisiyah Shemai Reuven, is in the letters of the name of Reuven. The Hine, because behold, Kol Davar Hagadol, because every great thing, Hatzarech Litzam Tzimatzloi, every great thing that needs to contract itself, Lahachshe Shalomat Memenon, to enliven, to be transmitted to something lower than it, Urak B'tchina Shemai. It can only do that through its name. Just like, you know, when you, a person, extends himself to someone else, it's through their name. So any time something needs to come down lower, it's through their name. Rak b'tchina shemai. Shala atzmai ain't tzarech shem. For yourself, you don't need a name. Shem shem, you don't need a name. Rak b'chdei lizgalos l'achedim. To reveal yourself to others, tzarech shem. You need a name. And that is, hinei kishem lizgalos l'achedim. When you reveal yourself to someone else via the name, ain't a mizgaloi ba'atzmi yisichloi. Rak shemai. The essence of, here's the thing. Whenever you're revealing yourself to someone else, expressing something to someone, you're never ever giving it like it is. You can't. You can never convey something. There's always a diminishment. Every transmission, you lose some of it. Like you understand. When you understand something and you give it over, it's never, the transmission never captures the essence of the way you understand it, the way you appreciate it. So that's the thing. So that's what we mean, letters of a name. A name is inferior, it's lower. And the name doesn't contain what the essence has. So now, just like it is between a person and another person, the same is also with the neshama and the body. When the soul has to communicate life to the body, it uses it through its name, which means an inferior way compared to neshama. The letters of name are the letters of a name. They're corporal. The enum klum, there's nothing to them. Now shabo yesh chayus ma'at, it has a little bit of life. Shemachayus agul, it gives life to the body. Behind the kenoid, as it is known, sha'or v'chayus ha'mispashet ma'neshama ba'guf, as it is known, that the light and the chayus that expands from the soul to the body, behind the chayus ha'mispashet v'chorei machei varei aguf, meaning the energy that expands into the organs of the body, the 248 organs. Ein ze mohus v'atzmis ha'neshama. This is not the essence of the soul, manish. El erat v'chinez gili v'harem emena. Only a gili, a revelation. A little way of it. Kama shikata v'sifr shabbeinan in pedik nunal. It's Zezun Tanya, that's 51st chapter. Amshacha sa'arizu nishnas v'oisis Hashem. And the flow, and the amshacha of this, from the neshama through the body, is rooted in the letters of the name. Elachain, and therefore, Hashem shayach dafka, that's why the name is, for this reason, the name is dafka, applicable, is only applicable, v'slapshas ha'neshama v'aguf. When the soul comes into the body, because that's when the ray is expanding into the body. Before that, when the neshama is above, it wasn't illuminating in the body. And this is through its name. Which isn't the case before it descended. This ray was included in itself, just like we said before by God, that his name was absorbed in him. So before the neshama descended in the body, the name was embedded in the soul. You didn't see the name. It was unidentifiable. Because it was lost in the greater soul, which is not identified by these particular characters. It was beyond it. But the bitul mamish over there was completely lost. Out came, therefore, a nikras to shame. Therefore, it's not called with a name. Ki ha-shem urak b'chinas ha'ar is only a ray. Ma ha-shem came, ha-husavatsmusa, which isn't his essence. Num tzom muvin gam came. So it's all understood also from this. The Indian Hashem Ugam Kain al Berach Mashu Tchinas Ha'ara. That a name is the same idea as what as Ha'ara as a Rei. Masha Eina Negei Al Atzmi is Klal, which doesn't have any importance and significance to the essence at all. Shekeshah Neshama Lamayla Ain Tzarech L'Shem, because the Neshama is above, it doesn't mean its name. Rakeshi Hu Mamala Es Hagos. It's only when it comes down to enliven the body. Shehu Tchinas Ha'ara Ames Pashmini, which is only a Rei from it. Hu Al Yedei Hashem, then it's through the name. The Kachi of Lamayla. And so too is understood above. Mashahu is Baruch Mechayu Mahava Oyla Mishal Yoinim V'Tachtoinim. This that God enlivens, like just like the soul enlivens the body, Hashem enlivens the world. This that God gives life to the upper worlds and the lower worlds. Urak B'Tchina Shmoy. It's only His name. It's only that radiance. V'Loy Batzmusa. It's not His essence. Mamish. The essence, we couldn't withstand whatsoever. And even the name is all too powerful. Even on the name it says, "Ki nizgav shemoy levader." His name is exalted above. Meaning, even his name is an estate. How much is it is exalted? To what degree is it exalted? Levader, to a point. Meaning, even comparison to the name, the worlds are absolutely nothing. Amount to zero. Even to Hashem's name. It's almost like Hashem's name exists alone. There's nothing there but his name. How? There is a world, there is a creation, there is a vast universe and a vast creation. Hashem's name is so, to that degree, superior to all worlds and to all of existence, to the point that all of existence amounts to zero, to nothing. So that's what he's saying, "Kinizgav Shemai Levadai," to a point that he is alone. So even that can't serve as a life force of creation, because it doesn't acknowledge creation. Creation doesn't have any beingness on this level. Creation is a non-event. It's uneventful over here. So how does it take place? So that's what he says. What do we say? Yahalalu Hashem Hashem ki nizgav shemoy levado. Praise the name of God, because his name is really beyond. Hoidoy aleret v'shamayim. Hoidoy, his glory. The glory of his name is on the heaven and on the earth. Meaning this that serves as the energy of creation is only a ray of the ray. From the name comes these dinos. Even his name is not within the concept of infusing us. Elohu levadah. The name is alone. The nizgav moira. What does the word nizgav mean? It doesn't just say meroimam. Merumam also means exalted. It says nizgav. Nizgav shows moira ala slagi yaseira on something that is totally beyond. It is way beyond from the world. And even the worlds of Netzalim. The Netzalim are Atzilus. Atzilus is the highest of worlds. It's not even a world of creations. It's a world of godly projections. But God's name utterly transcends the levels of Atzilus to the point that even Atzilus amounts to zero. Nothing, literally nothing. As he's going to say soon. Atzilus compared to beyond, it's Chachma me'ayim tamache. Chachma comes from ayim, from nothingness. Meaning it really begins with nothingness compared to what is above. Daki hoidai al eretz v'shamayim. Only a ray comes al eretz v'shamayim. Pidish anim shachoyd v'ziv mishmoy. A little radiant, lichyos, l'chayos, eretz v'shamayim. To give life to the eretz v'shamayim. V'zeh, and this is also what we mean, v'shimcha kadesh, atta kadesh, v'shimcha kadesh. You're beyond, and even your name is beyond. However, there's a difference. He is beyond, beyond, and the name is beyond. Shagam b'shena shimcha hu kadosh u'muvda is also kadosh. Is also u'mashen nimshach b'pchenas memali kalalmin. And what does come from God and is drawn down in a way of memali kalalmin, that which fills the universe with existence? K'moish haneshama memali saguf, just like the soul fills the body. What does enter into creation to infuse the creation with vitality and life and existence? This is only a ray of a ray. And this is what we mean when it says, come, let's see the wonders of God that he has placed desolation in the land. Meaning, we take a look at the world and we see how God has brought down havoc on the world. Certain times, you take a look and you see an event where God has just done something that is just a wonder. But it's a deeper meaning, Sham Shamais Ba'aretz. So the Gemara says, Al Tikre Shamais, don't eat it. Shamais, Shemama, desolate. Instead, read it Shemais. The Fallas see the wonders of God, Ashesham Shemais Ba'aretz. That he has made name, is placed names in the earth, in the land. What does it mean? And more than that, every time we have a word, which what? Which we say, don't read it like this, read it like this. So if it was supposed to be read like that, then why was it written like this? So it means that we're not dismissing its regular meaning. There's still a connection between what it's read, but it also can be read so. Both of them hold true. Both of them are connected. So shamais and shamais are connected. The Rebbe explains like this. The Amid and Zal pay the comment. The Brach is Alpik shamais el shamais. Don't read it desolation, but read it shamais names. Kihine. We said like this. We said before that all of existence comes only from God's name. But God has many names. Which name? He says like this. There is what we call Shemai HaGadol, God's great name. God's great name is the name of Hashem prior to any adaptations. God's name as it's emanating from Him. He is Ein Sof, so He radiates Ein Sof light. That's Shemai HaGadol. But then, from that creation can't be, because creation is finite. So from that, Hashem already has the process of Seder Hishtalshelut, of being contracting His light, through the various different projections of Atzilus and so on and so forth, that creates the various different names of Hashem, the seven names that aren't erasable. Kael, this. These are all, once there is the light, now the light is shining through a red glass, now it's shining through a green glass, now it's shining through this light, and that's creating all the various different colors and the various different aspects within the creation, which result in it. So that's what he's saying. The world is created by the various names of Hashem. Shemais ba'aretz. Many levels of names. Hashem has many names. And that is because the world could not take his real name, to take his name as it is. And to comprehend the life and the energy from his great name, Baruch Hu. Blessed. Rak al yaday, only al yaday amtsas, kama mina madregas, various different levels, v'chol madrega agavoya amachayash v'makar menon, and at every level that is higher, that serves as energy for the lower level, hurak m'tchen Hashem is only a name. Each level, as it transmits the energy to the next, is a name, is only a name. So you have millions and zillions of names, the name meaning the external transmission, the ray transmitting to the next level. V'kulam imenu, and it all begins with one central name. V'kulam imenu yizbarach, and they all come from him. Elechein, and therefore, he says this is what it says in Kabbalah. There's an in of kav, va'aretz hakav, va'aretz da'ara, and a ray, as the rays reflect, one reflection, another reflection. It's like looking into a mirror, and when there's two mirrors together, and you can see endless. As they reflect, one reflects off the other, and endless reflections. And that's how it is. Each one, of course, becoming diminished and less. And therefore, yesh kama shenuyim ba'olamis, that's why the worlds are different. As the name goes farther and further, reflecting and getting less. Okay, we'll skip the vihine Hashem, and the name, einoi klim k'neged atzmius. The name is absolutely inferior and nothing. Connected to atzmius in comparison to the essence, uke'efes nechsha, and it's literally like not the zel, and this is what we say. L'chu chazu mefaloi savaya, take a look at the wonders of God. He apliya hagdoyla, that's the great wonder. Shehu ein soif baruch hu, hamahava kol oilamoy, take a look at the ein soif God himself, that gives life to all worlds, tamid ma'ayin liyesh. The wonders of God that's constantly happening. And he's constantly making the world a ayin liyesh from nothing to something, b'dibura with his words. Ashasam shemois ba'aretz. He has placed names on the earth. What does that mean? It's through the various names that God gives life to the world. But the fact that it's only a name implies that, it's merely a name, it's merely a reflection. So what is it? Shemama. It's an emptiness. Shemus means it's desolate, it's empty, it's without content. So push the plots. Push means empty, without any content. Since it's only a name, and a name of 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 a name, so what does it all amount to? One big nothing. That's what he's saying. So it's Lasha Shemama, so it's a wasteland. Shevemes afilu kol ha'olamos, all worlds, Meresh kol dargin, from the greatest and the highest worlds, Hurak Shemama, it's absolute nothing, Negadat smusa yizbara. comparison to the essence of Hashem. Kamashi Kasim Makamakra, Pasim did midbar Sina. And like it says elsewhere in the Pasim, it says, but because our whole energy, Rak Mepchina Shemois, is only from the name. As it says, Ki Bekoha Vayatsur Elamit, with the Yud Kasham created the world. The Yud Nivra Elam Abba, with the Yud, one letter, the worlds were created. The Zel, and this is what we also mean, Boy Rek Boishim Yishtabach Shimcha. Hashem creates holy ones. We said before, where does the neshama stem from? On the level of the souls are the letters. The letters come from the wisdom. What's the wisdom? Torah. Torah is Hashem's chachma. But chachma is an atzilus. Chachma is that first entity of worlds. So chachma is already what? It's already within this whole, after this whole contractions of what? Of Hashem coming down to be defined in certain definitions. In the world of Chachma, the Malach Alamim, Shem Tzimun Wuz. This is absolutely nothing in compared to the Ein Sof light. And the Ein Sof light is only a ray of what? Of Atzmus himself. So it's Gundish, it's nothing. So we're saying, Yishtabach Shimcha La'ad Malkeinu. Hashem creates Kedoshim. Shekol La'aliyos, Shel Pechinesu Kedoshim. All that the souls can ascend to, in their infinite ascent, b'chol yonahalu l'chaselu, with all the sensations and pleasures, eynoy ela l'pchina shimcha, it's only the name, elachein oimer, in this way it says, b'yirei kedoshim, he uses the word b'riya, shem b'chinas b'riya me'ayin l'yesh, it's, we use the word b'riya, b'riya meaning from nothing to something. See, the Ramban says in the beginning of the Rishon, that the word b'riya, emphasizes. What does the word Bria mean? We sometimes use the word Yetzira, the form. So the Rambam says like this. The form something means that you have already the substance. You're only giving it full form. You're changing it from one substance to another substance. Bria means when you're bringing something new. Meaning, you're starting something really new. That thing that you're bringing about, the result, didn't exist prior. Even in some subtle form. It wasn't there. It wasn't there even in some minuscule way. It had no relationship to the prior stage. Totally new. Totally original. That's what the word Bria means. Now, what do we say? Boyde Kedosh. That even the levels of Kedosh, which represent all the world of all Bria, why? Because, as we're saying before, all this, if we can't say that these worlds and these things existed prior in Hashem. It didn't exist prior in Hashem. Hashem is not a composite from billions and billions and billions of these points of energy. The world is all one point of energy. But Hashem is not a composite of it, as we said before, like the ray of the sun. The sun is not made of billions of rays. If the sun would be made up of billions of rays, and every ray would contain some of the sun, then the sun would get weaker by the ray. Or like back to the story of speech that we spoke about. The soul is not composed of billions of words, and you lose your words as you're speaking. So God is not composed of billions and billions of points of energy of creation. He's not that. He's completely something else. It's like a ray. So it's nothing. So therefore it didn't exist within him. Even though it was there in some level, but being there in some level is absorbed in a complete different existence. And therefore, it's called Bria Yesh Me'ayin, something totally new. And by totally new meaning, it has absolutely no relationship to him. No relationship whatsoever. So as great as it is, it's nothing. As he reads, he makes it as it says, Chachma me'ayin timati. Chachma comes from nothing. Pidish meaning, ki yishavis ha'chachma, the coming about of chachma, to erase the yishtalshulus me'ein tzeik baruch hu, to the beginning of the yishtalshulus, the progression, where God begins to form worlds. It all begins with a chachma. It all begins with an idea. And from that idea it expands into details. And from there it goes into the whole process of creation. Ein me'kama yishtalshulus, shem ha'chachma l'mati. Chachma's emergence from beyond Chachma is completely different than the way things develop from Chachma onwards.
See, from Chachmen onward, everything works in a way of cause and effect. There is a cause, there is an effect. For example, you have Chachma, you have an insight. That is the cause for the Bina, for the understanding. And everything you have in the Bina, Bina is not new, Bina is not the Yesh Me'ayim. You can trace it all back to the Chachma. When you're studying something, you have a first flash of insight. Boom. That flash. It's only a flash. You don't see any details. You just see a point. A point of wisdom. What happens to that point? Then you develop it into many details. And the details into details. And details of details. But then after you finish the details, you can trace those details back to the point. You can see how it all originates from this point. So it's not really new. It was there. It was there, but when it was in its source, when the Bina details, were in the Chachma's source, they were completely lost in the Chachma. You didn't really see them, but they were there in some level. And so on further. For example, thought and speech. Speech is a shtalshul, it comes from thought. You can see, you think something, and you speak. So even though the speech, the thought is superior to the speech, but you can trace the speech to the thought. You can see how these words that you spoke were once contained within your source. So it's not nothing really new has happened. It is only that it has taken on a lower form, has developed a different form. It was really there when developed. That's only for dealing with the levels of Chachma and Amr. But when we're dealing with Chachma, so what is beyond Chachma, Chachma is already defined. Beyond Chachma is undefined. The relationship of the defined to the undefined. The undefined doesn't contain within itself all the definitions. It precludes all the definitions. It's before all of them. It's a source for everything that... It's a source for all definitions, but you can't say that it contains the definition. It has it within itself. And therefore it's Me'ayim. And therefore it, as it is in a defined state, is nothing compared to its source. As he's saying over here. It's not the way Chachma affects Lamata lower, Shehuderech Eilava Olo. That works in a way of Eilava Olo, cause and effect. Kamashal Ba'adam, as a man, Kamashal by a person. Sheyesh by Seichel Lamidaj, a person has intelligence, he has emotions. Machshava Dibur Emaisa, he has thought, speech, and action. Shemeshtal Shalom Zem Ezeh, one comes from the other. What do you mean? Hine, like, for example, you first have an idea, then you get emotionally excited about it, then it produces thoughts, you think about it a lot, then you speak about it, and you act. So you see the progress, but you can see how one leads to the other, and one comes from the other. Hine, ha-seichel atzmoy nimshach ha-mislabit ha-machshana. And then the seichel itself gets drawn down into the thought. V'chein ha-machshava ba-hadibur. The thought comes into the speech. V'chein ha-seichel ha-midois. One... We're one, and when you have this type of progression, when you have the effect has some of the cause in it, has some of the of that force in it, because this lowers itself down to bring that. Like you see in thought. The thought, the speech contains thought. It has the thought in it to some level, right? In a weaker form, but it has it. This is when one thing comes from the other. It's not yesh from nothing. Because the source itself is grasped in the consequence. From Chachma and below. As it says in Zohar Bereishis. It says kulam b'chachma asisa. That all the details of creation is already there in Chachma. All the coming of existence was drawn from hell and from a concealed state to reveal from the state of Chachma. At first they were all absorbed together in Chachma. And this is also what Chazal mean in Pirkei Avos. There's in 10 utterances the world is created. And the Mishnah asks, it could have been created in one utterance. Why did it have to be created in 10 utterances? So what does it mean it could have been created?
Could have been created in one utterance. Doesn't mean it could have one day been created in one utterance. It means it literally was. The process of creation is that first Hashem said one utterance. And then that one utterance was articulated in the many utterances. That's like a general, and the general utterance, and then that rest is detail. So what does it mean in a deeper sense? It means like this. First there is, Hashem had the flash of insight, which contained all, a seminal drop, that contained in itself, was a compact. It contained within itself the potentiality for all of existence. It was all there in that drop. And then it was only all later developed in the 10 utterances. So the 10 utterances have the source, the Maimer Echad, in that one utterance. What's the Maimer Echad? The Nekudas HaChachma, that flash of Chachma. But, let's ask the question like this. Everything is contained within that drop. But that flash of insight, when compared to the superconscious from where the insight comes from, you look at a person, when you get a new idea, does that new idea have anything of your true soul power that's in your superconscious? No. It doesn't have any of that. It's like a ray that has been thrown out, and you don't have any of that pre-conscious experience in that idea. And that's why he says all worlds, including the souls, are in a tremendous pitiful state. Because they're all only in that one idea. They all exist within that chachma and further. It's all in b'bayre. B'bayre. B'riya means yesh me'ayin. And when you have yesh me'ayin, when you have something from nothing, the preceding nothingness is not present in the somethingness that results from it. When you have yesh me'yesh, one thing coming from something else, so the preceding something is present in the consequential thing. This is present in that. But when you have something from nothing, it means to say that it's totally new, so when it emerges into existence, it doesn't contain within itself anything of the previous, of the nothingness which produced it. Because this is a something, and that's nothing. Nothing means it has nothing of it, of the properties of it. Which means that all of existence doesn't have anything of God Himself. Not a little bit. At least a little percent. At least something. A little minuscule drop of a drop. Kakarachmanis. So when a person hears this, the person says, Gavald, I really do have to put on tefillin. I really have to light shabbat. I really have to. Or else, what? What do we live in? What do we exist in? We exist in the yesh that comes from the ayin, but the yesh doesn't have anything of that ayin. Even though it's godly. Because Achilles is godly. But it's Hashem almost like creating Himself into an entity that's infinitely removed from what He is. And only in the mitzvahs down here can we reattach it, as he's saying. Tenu lamata, as he says. When it rose in his mind, in his will, to create the world in one thought, nivru kala oilam is b'derek klal. First, all the worlds were created in a very general form. It's all in the word bereshis. All of existence is contained within the word bereshis. They say the story of the Alter Rebbe that when he was in prison, they wanted to test his knowledge. So in those days they came. They had maps. They discovered America. I don't know everybody. And they had the first maps of America. So they brought it to the Alter Rebbe. And they had an old map, and then they had a new map. And the new map was the correct map, it compared to the old map. So they brought in the old map. And they said to him, if he says it's correct or whatever. He looked at it and he said this is incorrect. And he pointed out exactly what was wrong. Or like where he knew the map of the Indian. So they asked him, how did you know? So he said, because in the word Bereshit is included all the whole Seder Hashtalsos, all the worlds. America's also there. From there, the geography of how it is. But that's what he's saying. It's all in that Nekudas HaChachma. In Bereshis he created. The Targum Yoinis, and the Targum says on the word Bereshis, B'chuchma, so it's Chachma. That's the point. Chachma is that seminal drum. And the rest is all commentary. The Nisvet to Achakach, Tes Mamaris. Then it was only in the other 10 Mamaris, B'sheish Yisam. It's funny. Say just say in 10 Mamaris the world was created. If you look in Bereshis, you only see 9 Vayoymer. So the Gemara says Bereshis is also a Maimer. So why say Bereshis is only a Maimer? Say another time Vayoymer. The answer is Bereshis is a different kind of Maimer. Bereshis is the Chachma, that first flash. And then you have the Mamaris, which only articulated that which was there already. Aval esavas ha-chachma me'ein soif baruch hu. But chachma coming from ein soif. V'yesh me'ayin, something from nothing. Mamish, li'yoyz. Ki ein soif baruch hu l'mayla mayla ein keitz. Is infinitely beyond the b'chinnis ha-madregis chachma. On the level of chachma. Elechein, and therefore, kedei she'yiyye savas b'chinnas chachma. Zahu b'riya yesh me'ayin. It's creating something new, which doesn't exist at all within Hashem's essence, or even the infinite light that's beyond Chachma. The Zohar, and this is what we mean, Boyre Kedosh, creates Kedosh. Bidish, Shahana Shamnis Sha'alu B'Machshav. Now, where do the souls come from? The souls are from God's Chachma, from the thoughts of His Chachma. Sha'alu B'Machshav, Shalchei Nikru Kedosh, and that's why they're called holy, Kedosh, because they're not in speech, they're good. Shekhlalusama Makairam, their source and their root, who are Khanish Khachmi Allah, the supernal wisdom. Shanikra Kaidesh. They're called Kedoshim because they receive their energy from Kaidesh. Ukamaya Ben, just like a son, Shasavusa Nipchinas Mayaha he comes from the brain of the father. But that's only after the father has defined himself as a father. Prior to God being a father, he nay, Hemchinas Briya Yesh Mayayim, there's something from nothing. Rainu Lipchina Shimcha, this means their name. Zohar, Yishtabach Shimchon, this doesn't mean they should praise their name. Elechein Yardu V'Nislapshu B'Guf. In order to break out of this containment of Chachma, they come into a body. Shehit Tzaydech Aliyah. This is the sake of, in a sense, because from here is where they have a springboard to jump and to accelerate beyond the Shimcha and to tap in and to connect. Watch really, really, really real. Alright. We're going to learn in Siv Gimel, we're going to learn just a little more. We're going to learn one Amud over here. And next week, so the intention originally was that we're going to start on the next page, the second half of next page, next week. So, not going to be that much longer. Let's go. Kitzur. Kihine, it's explained just in short. Bayre Kedoshim Shaim, Anishamas, which are the souls. Ainu Kedoshim B'chol Yanyalu Chasela, as it says Kedoshim B'chol Yanyalu Chasela. Imkos, as great as they are, is Avusam Rak Mitchina Shimcha, only from the name. Shuin Yana Or Ba'al, it's only a race. Shanesha is Ain the Ephesus is considered that it's considered nothing. Lagabat Musi is Varech compares him to his essence. Kamoy Shema Adam Shain Arech Latmusa, just like the name of man that has no significance to his essence. Zawash Hashem Shamlis Ba'alas. Is what you mean it's Shamlis, it's definitely. Amen is Awatik, your Shamlis El Shamlis. Why is it Shamlis? Because it's Shamlis. Kamoikim, because it's a name. Kamoikim also. Gama Chachma, even Chachma. Makoyer B'chinas HaNeshamas, even the source of all souls. Ne Ayin Timatze. The B'china Shanikra Ayin. B'china Shimcha, it's only from a level it's called Ayin of his name. Misham Nesavah B'china Shavriya Yesh Me'ayin. Created in a state of beingness from Yesh Me'ayin. In Yina Aliyah Mahu. What is this Aliyah? Where is the Neshama ascending to? Gam Lohavim, we also need to understand, Hine Noidah is not. The Ikko Kibbol Ashar Ubezman Chiyas HaMesh. The main receiving of reward is in the time of Chiyas HaMesh. The minor, as all the sages say, the Da, and you should know, Matan Shcharin Shol Tzadikim Lo'asad Lover. The reward for the Tzadikim is going to be in the future world. Now simply what, you know, most of us think that the future world means what? Means Gan Eden. That you know, the reward of people, not in this world, but after the soul departs, the body, and then Gan Eden. She'im ha'pidish ala Gan Eden, but if it would mean Gan Eden, ma'hu lashin la'asid. What do we say? Da she'ik, she'matun shvarzikim la'asid lover. La'asid means in the future. Gan Eden is presently exists now. So that indicate, that proves, and we say, La'ashad Lava, the ikkar reward of tzaddikim is in Tchiyas HaMeishim, by the resurrection. Ha'aloya Gan Eden yes negamata, Gan Eden there is also now. The Nisham is for the souls, the Tzaysim and Agub when they leave the body. Ela Bavadai, and then we have to say, Ka'al Tchiyas HaMeishim, refers to Tchiyas HaMeishim. But he says, Oh, ikkar ashar v'aliyas v'nisham. This is the main reward in the ascent of souls. V'Gan Eden eina ela l'fisha. Gan Eden is only temporarily. Gan Eden is only a place where the souls hang out until they come back down to the body. Ah, the Tchiyah. Like in the airport, and those who have special card. I don't go into those rooms, I don't know. But those who have a special lounge, and you sit around. So it's in a lounge to sit around until Tchiyas HaMeishim is Gan Eden. The Gam said, so there is some entertainment there, meanwhile. It's like when you're waiting in Disneyland to go in the Chesed to go. So they have this little entertainment online. You wait online to keep your vision. So the Neshamas and Gan Eden are entertained for a little while. The Gam Zet Tzarech Liyayis, Tzarech Lahavit. But this we need to understand. Lama Kibbul Shechara Ikri, why is it that the main reward for the Neshamas is Kishiyah Begufin Bach, going to be in the body? The body is the most restrictive, the most constrictive thing. It's a physical thing. It limits one's capacity of an experience. So why we say that the greatest experience we adopt in the Neshamah in the body, Acha Inyan, the idea is as follows. Apima Shekasa Bezayar, according to what it says in Zayar, the Einzeit Baruch Hu, who saved Kalam, and Umamala Kalam. Infinite One Blessed is He, is solid Kalam. He encompasses all worlds, and Umamala Kalam, and He fills all of existence. Piddish, meaning, Kihine, Atzmusa Yuzbarach, the essence of God, Eino Begedir Ashpoa Kalam. By God we can't speak about, meaning, the same like this. In Hashem Himself, you can't say not neither that He surrounds the world, neither that He fills the world, because saying either of these means that there is some sort of a relationship. There is some sort of mashpia, means influence, influencing from the outside, influencing from the inside, but an influence. The Atzmus Himself is the complete, is not within the gather, not completely at all within the whole context of Ashpa. Elachain, therefore, Piddish Oirein Sait, as we said earlier, Oirein Sait means, Hainu, Alachayus Hameir, the Nimshach Hamed Yisbar, on that which, a ray of him, like the reflection is spoken, the mirror reflection. Lahach Yisraelim is that gives life to the world. Shukamayziva Aralava, it's only a ray, Kamayziva Hashemesh, without Hashemesh, like a ray of the sun to the sun. Ella, however, Shazel Mashal Gashmi, this is a physical Mashal. U Piddish HaMashal, what is the meaning of the Mashal? Since Hashem is the source, the fountainhead of life, and the source of life, Al came therefore, some sort of revelation of Him, Dugma Ziva Ora, some type of ray. Levat, similar to a ray. I mean, it's not even a ray. A ray is a muscle, but Hu Mechayes Oilamash, gives life to the world, to Mahavayas, and brings them into existence. As we said earlier, Masha Neshama Machayis Aguf, the soul gives the bite. Shachayis Amalamubish bin Amach Evari Aguf. Shehem Chayim in Neshama. The life that is invigorates the 248 limbs of the body, which are alive, of course, from the soul. Koyach Ariya Ba'ayin, the power of vision in the eye. Koyach Hashmiya Ba'ayin, the power of hearing in the ear. Ein Zachemet Ma'atzmus HaNeshama. Not part of the essence of the soul, Manish. Elishu Pchinas Gili Ba'adam HaNeshama. It's only a radiance of the Neshama. And the Shaman, you can't say, is composed of seeing, hearing, and some other powers. Shaman is beyond that. It's only a Mafisha who ba'atzma. So how does it work? Mafisha hi ba'atzma nishma surachayim. Since it is an essence, a spirit of life, alkein. Therefore, if Afshu said, the guf, it comes into a body, who mechayas aguf, gives life to the body. Mechayas zesha aguf chayim emenu, who kamoi b'chenes ha'odem emenu, is like a radiance of him. Of it. V'ein ma'atzmu se'mam, it's not from its essence. Ella, however. But there is a difference. We can't use this completely as an analogy for God. Because the Neshama, even though the Neshama is not, the essence of the Neshama itself is not what's the source of life of the body, the source of all activity in the body is not the soul itself. But rather, being that the Neshama is a living being, therefore it radiates life. And that life is what invigorates the body. But at least, on the other hand, the Neshama itself is present in the body. It's not, the soul itself is beyond being a source of life for the body, but it's there. and the body lives off the energy that the soul gives off, radiates off, that reflection, if you can say, of the soul. However, but the neshama is there, and therefore, what do you mean it's there? It's here in a way that it is impacted by the body. The body leaves its mark on the neshama. The neshama is affected by the body. Things that happen to the body have a consequence on the neshama. Elish, and the neshama miflabeshes up upon him. Atzmusa gam kein teichagu. That's enclosed also in the body. Va'oz, and then, nimshacha adev achayis v'men ala achis v'machay v'arayagu. And then, and only then, does it enliven the body. Ilvechein, and therefore, mispailis v'atzmusa gam kein in mikrayagu. That's why it also is impacted and it gets excited and affected by the body. Avo. Bahanimshal, in the nimshal amayla v'ayabal. Eime ken, it's not so. She'eime mispal v'ayilamas. God is not at all excited or affected by the world. And you were before the world was created. Everything is equal. Behind you, and that is the fishu is bar kaddish and muvda. Shem is kaddish, separate. The ain't the mislabish, the nitzvahs ba'olamis, and he's not at all enclosed in the world. That's in him. And even in the world, in the light itself, l'shayich p'chinis lapshus. Even the light, even his rays, doesn't have any, can't either be contained or only after many, many tzimtzumim. The imkain, and if so, kol shkain it's understood. She yuvan, that should be understood. That the light that actually supports all worlds, the upper and the lower worlds, if even his light is infinitely beyond the world, so is essence for sure. Only a little, right. And the chain, who is Baruch Nikra Mechaye Achayim? The fountainhead of life. Mechalke Achayim. Because all life stems from him, but not that he is the source. Meaning, not that we can say that he is the actual infuser of life. Because that he is the life of the world itself. This radiance of him. It's called Eirin Tzoyt. Ki ain't cakes v'gvula arizut, because it's limitless, it has no end. Ma'achashu al-kaponim arviziv, but at least it's a radiance, it's a reflection of him, al-berech mashim. Mimena yizbarach from him, abilti b'gvul, that is endless. As he said before, v'nikru gam kishmoy agadol. O'mah sha'afo piken nesavu oylam ha'sitchen is d'gvul v'tachlus. So if so, so then why would worlds created in a limited fashion? That was because the light itself, the energy itself, got contracted. Shouldn't be in a revealed infinite state, but rather it should affect in the gvul and the midah to go in. This is what we mean in mamale. This is that which has been drawn down in a state of revealed revelation. The gvul and midah, that which should have some type of identity. That which should have some types of personality, some type of character. Al derech mashal. Omeir b'chol oylam lefi erkan. And that already adapts itself to every world according to its character, according to its value. The reishis agilu b'chachma. Where does it first begin to define itself? In chachma. The klalus b'chinazu, and the general level of this, eino yafilu ke'erech tipo l'gabe kiyanish. This is not even the value of one drop in compared to the Pacific Ocean. He's saying it like this. God himself has nothing to speak about. Now, even his ray is believable because it's a reflection of him. So in order that there should be defined worlds, it has to be a tzimtzum. A tzimtzum, as we said before, of a tzimtzum which is so powerful, which as he says now, is like not even the value of one drop compared to the Pacific Ocean. Has some value because it's a little bit of it, but the comparison of all worlds compared to the ancients is not even a little bit of it. So mamale kalalman, the whole realm of mamale compared to the shayvet kalalman is what that ray as it is for itself, as it radiates actually, and being that that's the case, put it this way: is there any superiority to a physical stone and a Achilles figure
projection of God in comparison to the Ein Sof that's before the Tzimtzum? Does this have any more value? That's the point he's saying. Within the worlds, within our framework of existence, this is high and this is low. This is infinitely higher than us. That's only once we entered into the realms of Namale. Over there you can mark down, this is higher, this is lower, lower, lower. But in comparison to the Ein Sof, the physical stone, and Chachma v'Atzilus, absolutely equal. But they're both nothing. And they're both equally nothing. Not that this is more nice. No, they're both the same valueless. That's the quantum leap that the Alpha Rebbe is trying to do. It's the quantum leap. And if that's the case, they're both equally valueless. And therefore, today's days we say like this. In Gan Eden, in our worlds, those are higher worlds. In Gan Eden, in order to appreciate godliness, you have to go to Gan Eden. And in Gan Eden itself, you have to go up, 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 higher, the ladder and ladder and ladder. Ascend the ladder of Gan Eden. What does it mean to ascend? To ascend means to go over to a higher spiritual level of existence, where in that level God manifests himself more. Higher, higher level. It's what is being manifested in those upper worlds or the higher spiritual world? Those energies of Mamale Kalam. Mamale. Mamale is already what? God already came into the realm of definition. God assumed the character. God assumed already what? A personality. So in the personality of Hashem, there is the world that we see from the higher level, and the world is the lower level. But that's within the personality. When we're dealing with what is beyond the personality of God, beyond the whole system, to that, nothing is a king. The most sublime spiritual world isn't any more of a king than the same. And therefore, he's saying like this. That's all. Today's days, all the revelations are only from the Mamale Kalam. Shovet Kalam, and this element of God's infinite light as it is completely restrained and not accessible, not available in the for the experience of the creations. So since everything trickles only through the window of Mamale, so that's why we understand that in order to experience it, the more spiritual we become, the more we can experience. The chiddush of Olam Haba is the world to come, is that then there is going to be a gilui of Sovet Kalam, of God's, the reflection of Hashem's light, as it is, without any adaptations, without any limitations. That's why would you leave the body? What's the point? That the body is just as a receptacle as your soul. You imagine soul and body are equal. Literally. Soul and body are equal compared to that life. Because the soul comes from the thought comes from Chachma. It's all within that drop that is insignificant. The whole drop is insignificant. But he has no value. And therefore, what's the point? So there can be a revelation to body and soul. Transformation is going to be there. And that only explains why it can be in the body. So it's explained later why that's in the body. Because in the body you did mitzvahs. And it's the mitzvah that connects you to that. Let's read it very quickly. The reishis of it. The klolus p'chinazu on the general like einas to erech tipa legaba kiyonis. It's not even according to the value of one drop to the kiyonis. It can be specific. Legaba oiling seit mamish. Comparison to the infinite one. She'ena mea the p'chinazu do. That is not illuminating and revealed. That which is being characterized and defined is absolutely nothing compared to that which is not being characterized and defined. This lapsus oilum is in that which is enclosed in the world. Ki in the p'chinasayv eklam, that which remains in a state of sovev, in a state of encompassing. Ki p'chinas sayv eshamakul mumayla. Sayv doesn't mean that it's distant, it's far. Ki let us aponiminate, God is everywhere. That she'ena muset v'nitzvah, it's not grasped. B'loy k'loy sh'anashamim mislabish b'guf. Not like the soul that is enclosed in the body. It's totally not grasped. It's called Tzoyvim Kashiyya Oifim B'Teicha Oifim. It's like when you have one circle and another circle. Many circles encircling each other. Pirish Kamar, Eagle Tatsim Shabbatayach Eagle Gadol.
one ball and another ball, one sphere and another sphere. Hamakifa mekol tzadu, and it's enveloping it from all sides. So the Yitachon Loimar over there, we can say Shemasha Makav Umayla Umuuli Yosef. That which is surrounding on the top is superior. Ramasha Makav Lamata, that which is surrounding it on the bottom. The Pachmas Oisam Hakav. So you have like this: you have a small sphere surrounded by a bigger sphere. No one is going to say that what? But that which is surrounding over here is superior because it's higher than that which is surrounding over here. Because the top and the thing are both equally enveloped, equally in that thing, the highest and the lowest. Here we're talking about an energy of God that envelops all of existence equally, the highest and the lowest. And Mu'uliyas Mashmakim Takas Eifin Akatim. The Eifin Agadu Shavu Humamish Melmaylo Lamakim. It's literally even above and below. Kachem so too. Equalizes everything, the great and the low. The home, the ma'ina, the abode of the Elokei Kedem, the God who has been forever. And he's beneath the Zrayas, the arms of the world. He exists below in the same manner as he exists above. And therefore, this which is closed up in the world to be mamale, is absolutely nothing in comparison to the value of the concealed light, the nelo, and that which is hidden. It's called then it is known, pidish milos erech the mispar, as it is known the words value in numbers. The mispar yeslo erech legabe mispar elef alef. Number one has some significance to what? To a billion. Avo, some significance it has. Because a millionaire, $1 doesn't mean much to him. He can sneeze on the dollar though. Doesn't have no value. Fine. But you can't say it doesn't have any value. $10 doesn't get him too upset if he loses $10 either. Lose $100? Blink an eye, not too much. $100,000? We're getting serious. But why? So if by $100,000 you're getting serious already, right? That means you didn't just get serious by $100,000. Started getting serious, not as serious, $70,000. So if the $70,000 gets you a little closer to it, then the $50,000 is a little closer. So when you bring it down, ultimately the dollar has some. Is one little percent of that, or a millionth of a percent, rather, of that thing. Because after all, the million is put together from the million ones. But if we're talking compared to the infinite, which we can't translate in our minds, infinite dollars, because once we give it a number, it's already a number. So, but if we can, there's absolutely no value at all, even to a billion. Valueless. He says the whole realm of Mamalikalam means nothing. Compared to the Seder. And therefore, when we say this is a higher Keli, and this is a lower Keli, that's all adapted to the light of the Mamali. But when we're dealing with the light of the Seder, they're equally nothing. It's beyond the number. And so too, the light that is drawn in the world has no value at all, compared to the main light. That which is not graspable. And that's what we mean souls go up. Because they go out of this relative world and they connect to that soul-based life, that which is beyond. Through the descent in the body in this world. So even though they already were in thought, they were in a very high place in the Mamale. They come from a very hard place. Shemakayram et chenes chachmi lo, which begins in chachmi. That's where they come. Va'aliyah and their ascent, who is galus oira seiga kalam. So when they become, they get access to the seiga of life. Sheyiyah la'asad lo ve'bizman atchiyah, which can happen when Mashiach comes, the time of the resurrection, dafkin the body. Elachem yiyah giluzel and neshamas begufim da'itim. That's where it's going to be dafkin the neshama in the body. Why? Because this equalizes everything. The ain't shayach by my lamata, the answer isn't above and below. The chen yegilu gam basi yamanish. So the gilu is going to be literally in our physical world. And he says, and this ascent comes through performance of mitzvahs, and this is a continuation of this, and why it is connected to the mitzvahs, and how it works, all going to learn in the next week, Ma'amar. And then he's going to wrap it all up and connect it back to Shabbos, and one of the two aspects of Shabbos. Have a wonderful week.